And now Houston, Texas, make some noise, because the time for talk is over. It's time to unleash the fury.
Sorry, everybody.
That's it.
Who we got here, Wayne?
Hey, we got our good friend, special guest, Professor Maggie Torres.
This is
Houston's newest female black belt.
Yeah, man. Former submission hunter, broadcast partner of ours back in the day. With her husband, Mike Torres. He used to do our commentary on Submission Hunter.
Yes.
She's got a long-running history with her. Yep. She was instrumental in our all-female card back
in the
day.
She was.
So, I mean, she's no stranger to us.
99.9% of that card.
The only nice things they'll say about me.
Congratulations,
yeah,
Professor.
That's it.
So if anything went wrong with that card, y'all call Maggie.
That was the best card, by the way. People still reach out to me about that.
That's a great card.
Are you getting used yet to people calling you Professor?
No.
It's
no,
so weird, right?
Not at all. Yeah. Actually, I was walking by, where were we the other day? And somebody said, hey, Professor. And I kept walking. And they were like, Professor. I was like, oh, you're talking to me. Yeah, I still, like, even in the academy, people will say Professor, and I'm like, let me go get Mike for you.
Respond to Maggie still.
Yeah. They call me Awkward Front Desk Lady. Almost nobody calls me Maggie at the gym. I'm Awkward Front Desk Lady.
You still work the front desk over there?
I do.
And you teach classes now.
Yeah. No, she like retired from teaching.
I know, that was going to be my next thing. Right? Yes.
I'm sad.
Yeah. Do you miss that?
Oh, my God, I miss it so much.
So you were a high school... Mm-hmm. History?
I wish. No, English.
English, right?
High school English teacher.
Yeah. English and communication. And
she's a word Sally.
A word Sally?
That's why she's a word Sally.
So I said mycology? No, I really miss it. I miss my students. I don't miss teaching in Texas, though, if I'm honest. I don't really miss the...
Tomball High School, where my kids go.
State of education. Oh,
you taught the same school his kids go?
I started at that school, and
his
then I moved
suck,
to...
His kids suck, right?
They're the best. They're actually the best. And then I moved to Tomball Star Academy. It's like
Eric
Briger
to pass on.
No.
They were never in my class.
So how long were you a teacher?
14 years.
Oh,
wow.
You walked away from that to hang out with your husband more?
Yeah, right? That was crazy.
Jeez.
No, I just, the testing, the everything, I didn't enjoy it anymore. So.
But you enjoyed it for a long time.
Yeah, I enjoy my
students. It's changed a lot, especially in 14 years, I'll bet. Like, seeing what it was and what it is now.
Yeah, you can't teach anything. Like, it got to a point where, like, I would... like give them a book to read, and somebody would be like, you communist, like, why do you have my child reading To Kill a Mockingbird, like, or whatever it was. And I was just like, this is not fun anymore.
Was it always high school?
No, it should have been, but I had middle schoolers in Korea. Okay. And that was the worst.
So that's where you started teaching in Korea?
No, I started teaching in the U.S. I worked with actually adult. Okay, I lied. Actually, I started with adult ESL students.
It's okay to lie here.
Yeah, that's fine.
We lie all the time.
Actually, working with refugees. I started working teaching ESL to a lot of refugees, and then I taught a little bit in Ohio. Then I went to Korea. Then I came back to the U.S. So.
And then you met Professor Mike in Korea.
In South Korea, yeah.
The love of your life.
He is. I love that man.
So Mike's the one who got you into jiu-jitsu.
No. Okay. This is a big
deal. You got Mike into jiu-jitsu.
Neither was.
Okay.
But right.
We lie here.
It was love at first try.
They thought they were going to a karate class together.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, actually, he left. This is weird. So he was stationed in Korea. And
then Mike was in the army.
At the army base, yeah. Okay. And he brought one of his friends out. Absolute idiot. Shout out to Shane if you're ever watching this. I don't know if you're alive. I don't know where you are. You're the dumbest person on the planet, but we miss you. Shane was narcoleptic. Shane probably still is narcoleptic. Shane was a bomb maker, right?
Oh, shit.
A narcoleptic bomb maker. This sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Corpses,
That sounds like the beginning of a joke.
He would fall asleep randomly. So Mike left us with him in the streets of like Seoul. So it's me and my rugby teammates, and we end up having to carry this dude through like the streets of Seoul. And I was like, man, this guy is not a gentleman. What an asshole. And then I ran into him at a tournament later on, and I was like, ah, he's still kind of an asshole. And he came to train with our black belt, and then I made the mistake of doing that thing white belts do where they like dig their elbows in, and Mike was like, don't ever dig your elbows in. And then he triangled me, and I went home and called my mom, and I was like, I'm in love.
This is in Korea?
Yes.
And then she said, my mind's telling me no. But his elbows.
Yeah, so he did not get me into jiu-jitsu, but I would say that he's like, I wouldn't even say he really kept me in jiu-jitsu. I think we've been like very, maybe some degree, because I'm very competitive.
But y'all were, so Mike was a white belt in Korea?
No, he was a blue belt. And then when I met him, and I think he went back, and then he, for like a couple weeks or something, and he came back and he had a perfect
So he was training before he went to the Army.
Oh, yeah. He was the first student at his black belt's gym, and so it was just one-on-one for, like...
Where was that at?
You know? That was in Yorktown, Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah, and so he got his blue belt in, like, 5 months, which now is unheard of, but, like, that was all he was doing.
That's very unheard of now.
And then he started teaching in Korea. He was teaching combatives there, and when he came back, he was a purple belt.
Yeah, because when I met Mike at Travis's, he was a purple belt already.
Yeah, he was there for a while.
And he was tough, man. I remember those first rolls with Mike. I was like, who is this fucking guy?
It's like a gorilla.
Well, he is now.
A flexible gorilla.
Yeah, he is now. But, I mean, you got to think, too, when I met Mike, he was like 170 pounds.
Oh, that was the worst. That was the whole year of weight cuts. Like, everybody who met Mike then thought that was, like, Mike's natural size. It was not. He was the most miserable. How we stayed together during those years, I have no idea, because this guy's cutting, like, 25 pounds. Like,
elbows.
Every time he's fighting. Like, he was at maybe 170-something when I met him, and that was, like...
And for a little while there, Mike was thinking about fighting MMA. Yeah, I would have loved to see that transition, man.
That might be my fault that he didn't.
I was like,
you already got brain damage, man. Like,
how old is Mike now?
Mike is, I'm horrible, 32.
Oh, he's got time.
Oh, he's a baby.
He's got time.
Wait till Mike gets here.
Don't talk him into it.
He can get one.
Short notice, just this Sunday.
But he's like, but in combatives, like they have tournaments. You fight all the time. Yeah. He's been knocked out before. He's been punched before. Like, he knows that he can take a punch. I think his passion right now, though, I think he didn't realize it, is coaching.
Those combative tournaments are tough.
It's like Wild West. Man,
tough. So, like, I enlisted in 99, and so I'm slightly older. And, like, the first round of combatives tournaments, I want to say, came around, like, 2001. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, we would go to those, and it was like, you were just in a fight, man. You're sending your BDUs in a fight. Like, that's all it actually was. And then it became, like, a two-day tournament. And
I never watched them. I couldn't. He told me he got knocked out once. So I was like, yeah, definitely not.
Mike did?
Yeah, it was like he was winning. He was like arm barring this guy. Yeah. And the guy was just like hammer fist. And he got flushed.
So basically, it's basically you're in your BDUs and like it's your camouflage
gear. I've seen them do. They do it in Killeen, right? On base?
Yeah, you're in your camouflage gear and you have
hiding from people.
You have gloves on. I don't know why. I mean, I know why we did it, but and you have gloves on. You're basically, it's just a fight. There's just no cage. Yeah, I got whooped every time. Every time.
Look at Rich. Does Rich look like he would win?
Of course. Okay, of course
I think so.
Of course not. Of course not. Just your average bald white guy. It's okay. Now that we've had the brown people talk. Wayne, how's it going over here, buddy?
Hey, man.
Your facial hair is coming back.
It's just one of those things, man.
I had to shave it off, man. But not the top. Why was that such a big deal?
Like, he walked into Submission Hunter the other day and Tara was like, what happened to your face?
Wait, what happened?
He shaved his beard and shit off.
So usually it's like longer, but it's not like
I'm waiting for Wayne to do
beard.
It.
Yeah. It's just usually longer, and so every now and then
go shave, like clean.
I'll just shave for not a big deal. Just shave it, clean up, get ready for the next quarter.
How does your wife feel about that?
Oh, she doesn't care.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't.
No
care.
One time. One,
oh, no. That's not true. That's a lie.
I get mad. I would get mad if Mike shaved.
Hey, a couple of months back. Yeah, he let his facial hair grow out, and I think he just left the mustache.
Oh, no, that's not it.
I did like the
and
the
Sam was like,
what is that?
Sam was like, you're not going to keep that. Yeah. He's like, oh, yes, I am. Yes, so he like kept
now
it.
I really
I kept
am.
It for like a week. Yeah, yeah. Remember, I kept it for like a week. Rock around for like a week with it.
And then he's like, hey, I got to get laid again, like, so I'm going to save this.
This is not – I mean, she's not crazy about when I do stuff like that because, I mean, I don't have any other hair to grow out at this point. So it's like she's used to that. But if I switch between like a goatee or a beard, she usually doesn't say too much. But I know she prefers the beard.
Yeah.
She definitely prefers the beard. As my daughter walked out, getting ready to turn 13, puts her hand up and like touches my face. She goes, no. So I had that
with
morning.
The beard?
Without the beard.
Okay.
And then I've got Tara saying something. I've got Andrea saying something.
Beards are makeup for men.
Evidently.
They really are.
Evidently, I am fugly.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Like, oh, man.
You just hit me with a...
Yeah. Wow. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like
said,
that.
Put your makeup on.
You really do look almost 50,
oh, no,
Rich. Good job.
Everybody but you.
No, I mean, you have facial hair now. Like, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, so it was good
what
to
was
have you.
What was next on the agenda?
Yeah, thanks for coming. Diego's waiting for you outside.
So we know you love jiu-jitsu, but your first sport love was rugby, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And how long you played rugby from a young age? Or
I
you
can't
got...
even remember. Like, I feel like I played rugby so long, I don't even know when I started playing rugby. I think probably not like seriously until like high school.
And you didn't play rugby when you were in Korea?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
I played in Scotland. I played in South Korea. Really, anywhere that I've ever gone, I try and find rugby.
Yeah, she was like Pele in South Korea. Man. She was like the greatest rugby player to ever live.
I probably was not that good.
Did Pele play rugby?
No. That's why I said like Pele. It's my closest reference. Okay, name a famous rugby player, man.
Johnny Wilkinson, Jonah Lomu.
She's going to tell you.
She can, of course.
All right, I can tell you about the All Blacks and the team. The All Blacks. Some of my favorite blacks have played for the All Blacks.
But Jonah Loma was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jambalama. See what I'm saying? Two llamas in a bag.
I love jambalaya.
What are you doing? Jambalaya is delicious.
Jambalaya is awesome.
So what got you into like rugby? That's not a sport that most. Not even like women, most people.
Most men are not going to want to play that
shit.
No,
they don't.
I just thought everything else was boring. This is going to sound like really cocky, and I don't mean it that way. I was really good at like every sport that I tried. Like I was very good at it growing up. And then rugby was hard, and that's what made me stick with it. It's the same thing with jiu-jitsu. I sucked at jiu-jitsu, so I stay with it. Rugby was like hard, but also I was like, I was an angry kid, but nobody will believe this, but I was not, I was a kind of quiet kid for a while anyway. And I just, it was the only way to like get out. Like my feelings, like how I felt. I loved hitting people. Like I loved taking contact. And then I realized like, oh man, this is great. Like I want to do this forever. And so it was like, it was just a good outlet for me.
Hey guys, that violent moment is brought to you by Sheath Underwear. Make sure you guys go check out Sheath Underwear, sheathunderwear.com. Great sponsor of the podcast. Violence in your underwear. So do you go see like professional rugby here in town, like the Houston Sabercats?
I've seen the Sabercats. Yeah. They're not as much now because I can't take Cairo anywhere. That's my 3-year-old. He's like demonic.
He's a terrible child.
He's
right?
The cutest thing in the world, but so poorly behaved. Like it's he's gotten better though. Like,
Cairo's awesome.
He's nice to you. He's nice to you. He's like,
listen, we all understand that like, oh, like, my kid sucks, but for some reason, everybody else seems to like this devil child that I have hanging out.
I just thought everybody was being nice to me because our name was on the building. Like, I was like, everyone's just nice because it says Torres up there because Cairo will be terrorizing people. The other day, the last open mat we had, he went, like, over the top of this guy, and this guy's like, hey, buddy, and he's, like, stretching, and Cairo spit in his face.
Oh, wow.
It's the most, like,
so he's in the dominatrix shit already? That's crazy.
Stop.
That's crazy.
Why are you like this?
I can't believe this. Well, you've got aggressive mom, aggressive dad, anger issues. This makes sense.
It was bad. It's embarrassing. But I'm going to get him in rugby soon, actually.
Nice.
Is he training yet?
Huh?
Is Cairo training?
I tried to take him to training. He talks a big game. He's like, I want to go to jiu-jitsu. And then I went to put him on the mat. And he's like, I'm scared, mama. And I was like, all right.
Wait, how old is he? Later. Three?
He's three. We usually start kids around 4. But there's a touch, like kids touch rugby league. And I'm going to start him in that. So
follow dad. I see dad's following Cairo's hair.
Yeah.
No. You see good. Mike's hair?
Last I saw it was... I just don't like his hair. It's too beautiful.
He's got great hair.
Like he's like
even when he Palomar like shaves right it all around. Off and it's like a number one, he's got like the perfect hairline and shit.
It's disgusting.
I like the curls though. It's I like, love it.
I didn't Everyone know his hair was
Cairo
that curly.
Cairo got his hair from me and I keep telling people no, actually
I thought it was
mine.
From you too. Like, I didn't know Mike's hair was that curly.
I thought he had a perm.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican. People forget that he's Puerto Rican, Costa Rican.
He is Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
They got the
He's
the
from
locks.
New York?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Oh, I was just making a joke. He's from New York?
Yeah, he's from New York. Neuer Rican.
It was a good guess. It was a good guess.
What a stereotype isn't a stereotype, you know? I mean.
Where?
Madison, Wisconsin. That's where my family is.
So you were born in Wisconsin. Mike was born in New York. Did y'all tell me that y'all met in Korea?
South Korea, yeah.
And then did y'all, like, separate and then y'all found each other again?
No.
So
no,
once
actually,
y'all met in South Korea,
met,
it was
and he pretty much
Eric's like, just rewriting their story.
He kind of like moved into my apartment, sort of like in
right.
Korea.
That's a power move, right?
But
there.
Except for he was in the army, and you're not allowed to do that. So he got in trouble because they did like an all call or whatever it's called, and he wasn't in his room, so he got in trouble. And so we had to go visit. Hello. We had to go visit him. I had to start going to like visit him because he was like on lockdown. He was in trouble. So I had to like drive up there. Well, I didn't drive. Nobody drives. You take the subway like up there to see him. And then basically he just moved into my apartment, never left. And then I think I remember now. His grandma ended up passing away. So we were supposed to go travel to Japan, but he ended up going home. And then he was just like, hey, so I think we should just like keep being a thing. Do you want to like move to Virginia with me? And I was like, sure.
So. What brought y'all to Texas?
Mike's mom got cancer, and she actually, at the same time that she got cancer, she fell down the stairs and broke both of her wrists. I know I'm laughing. That's not funny. It's just terrible luck.
Golly.
I'm not laughing. Eric's
got to stop asking
questions. Connie, I'm not laughing.
Everything Eric asks is just a drag.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because I was like, what a dark, like, but honestly.
And you laughing about it, but you're allowed.
Everybody has a good sense of humor about it now because it was just like, man, how many
Mike's mom is the nicest.
Can you go through at the beginning of your relationship?
So she got cancer and fell down the stairs and broke both her wrists.
The same day?
Sorry. She fell down the stairs and broke both her wrists.
That's some bad luck.
How a day would that
Stop
be?
It,
it can't get
home,
any worse.
You come home from the doctor,
boom,
like,
down the stairs you go.
Got cancer, I got to tell everybody. You
Connie, if you're watching this, I'm sorry.
But wait, there's more.
Poor Connie.
That's what, and then they set her shoes on fire outside
She's
of the
She's lying on the ground,
God,
broken.
Stop!
Her dog runs out the door. No!
Got ran over.
Gets run over.
Oh, and then the dog got sick too.
Oh,
see?
My
yeah.
God.
See, man. Okay. Oh.
So y'all make it back to Texas and...
Well, we were in Virginia first.
And then happily ever after. Yeah.
So was he stationed at Fort Lee in Virginia? Or, or were y'all...
I didn't know him then, so I'm okay. not sure. I didn't mean to be like.
So he was out of the army.
Yeah, he was out of the army when we first moved back. He had a job working at the school that he'd started at teaching jujitsu. At the time it was called Jujitsu Institute in Yorktown with Professor Ben Eaton.
That's a long name.
And then I found a job teaching in Hampton Roads, which was an experience.
You were teaching the hillbillies in Virginia?
It was not hillbillies. That's the most hood school.
The key in Virginia is overall.
I was in Hampton. Well, we lived in Newport News, but I taught in
Thank
Hampton.
You. That was good.
It's New York light.
Everybody's no-gi gear was the same as that guy that comes out.
Hillbilly Jim.
What's his name?
I forget his name, but the hillbilly Jim
Joseph
overalls.
Carroll.
Yeah, everybody wears Joseph Carroll's getup. You seen the overalls, the overall rash guard and pants?
It looks like the cowboy farmer.
That's cute. I like that.
I do wear some cool stuff, man.
Is that what everybody wore in Virginia during no-gi class?
It was
that the gi?
Probably a lot of
the
saggy
gi
pants.
Was overalls in Virginia, right?
You know what? No, that was still in the time where people were like showing up with t-shirts and stuff and didn't feel weird about it. Like,
there was
for no-gi
t-shirts and gi pants and
try
stuff.
Getting
and, like,
a baseball choke.
There was the one guy who was super super into it who had Under Armour shirt on.
Yes, I was that person. I had like a Superman one.
Y'all remember that time you had they had the Superman, the Spider-Man. You wore the
people
Under Armour shirt.
Didn't care as much then. Like they just wanted to train. Like that's when everybody was just there to train and train hard. So they didn't really care what you were wearing.
So obviously, Mike had a huge passion for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Did he talk about y'all owning a school one day? And
the first day that I met him, he told me, I asked him, I was like, so what's your dream? And he was like, I'm going to own a jiu-jitsu school and I want to help veterans. And that was kind of, and I was like, that's really cool. And he was like, yeah, I want to see my name on a building someday. So
damn.
I got a little bit emotional when they, even though we've had some issues with the new gym that we're moving into, when I saw that big
like,
logo
badass.
And I saw his name on it. It made me a little emotional because it's kind of cool to see all of that hard work, materialize. So pretty cool.
That's a great feeling, though.
It really is cool.
I can tell you from like when we first opened our schools and like walking in 2017 when I walked
in. Burmaster Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah, no. When we walked in, no one wants my name on bullshit. That's too long. No one wants that.
Richard Burmaster, Karate Jiu-Jitsu.
Burmaster.
Hapkido and Aikido.
Is in the Mercedes-Benz sound system.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You're welcome. But it's not like this feeling of just accomplishment, but now you have to like protect this brand that is you. Like, you are that brand. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's made me have to, like, calm down, not put crazy stuff up on social media.
You have to.
If you knew me 5 years
ago. It's hard. It's very hard.
I'd like to apologize, but I'm not sorry.
Ask Rich about us. Well, I'm ready to fucking go off and attack.
Oh, people write crazy stuff. Like,
I'm like, dude.
I used to be in the Submission Hunter
stories.
Comments, like, actually, idiot. Like, it's, you can't do that, but.
Yeah, you have to actually be somewhat.
Professional
now.
It's
which
hard.
You should have to be though, to be fair.
Well, every now and then, like one of my Facebook memories will pop up, and I'm like, I should go delete that.
you should just remember. Share it. It's going to keep you humble. You should remember where you started.
Well, some of them might get me sued when I see some of these. I'm like, I shouldn't have said
that.
Yeah,
some stuff doesn't age well.
I want to find that post that I posted. When me and Seth Daniels were going back and forth.
I was thinking that.
I want to find that. I've never seen that memory pop up.
Which one of y'all mentioned
they
Gucci
might have
belt
deleted
the
it.
You know how to search for it, right?
Didn't they start the post?
Type in.
Yeah, I think they did.
If they created the post, I mean, then they
I created the post.
Did you put his name in it?
I don't think I put his name in it. I think he just started commenting.
Like, keywords. And yeah. I found this out because I'm petty in this hub and finding old stuff that I wrote about. You search a few keywords and then you go in the search bar and then you go to the top and you filter it so that it says post from me. And it'll only show you post from you. And then you can see all the
posts. So if what not to do if you don't want to be reminded of your past.
All I remember is one of them started mentioning like Gucci and Louis Vuitton belts or shoes or something. Yeah. And I was like.
Oh, no. I think he wrote that about you, right? Like,
yeah. Right. So if I go in there and put. No, yeah. But I'll fight you, Nogi.
Yeah.
Then it should pop up.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It will.
Seth wanted to fight Eric. He's like, hey, I challenge you to a grappling match. And Eric was like, fuck you, man. I'll grapple with my friends. So I'll fight you in a cage. It was this thing that just
you guys
blew
cool
off
now,
huge.
Right?
Huh?
You're fine now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But in the moment, whenever Eric decided to get into the grappling game, it, I guess, you know.
That was a weird time where like.
Yeah. Fight to win was going to corner the market.
Yeah, you're not a lot. Like, listen, I'd love to see competition. It's cool. I'd love for you to come do as good of a job as we are. Cool.
Yeah.
You go. You can't. You won't last. So, like, I encourage competition. I want to see people come out. Hey, put together another amateur MMA. Put together a professional MMA. Put together a grappling series. If it works and you do a great job, that's another place. That people can go train, people can go work, and people can be seen. That's only going to make us even bigger.
Yeah.
So when you come out and you can't do what I do because I did it first.
Yeah.
Well, someone did it before you, so piss off.
That's true.
Well,
what about somebody doing it in the same place?
That's petty.
Because you wouldn't want somebody to come put a jiu-jitsu gym right across the street from Torres Jiu-Jitsu.
I actually literally was just going to have this. Was going to say that. I remember telling Mike when there was a gym that had, like, moved down the street. I was like, oh, my God, why would they do that without saying whatever? And Mike was like, more competition's good for us. He's like, 100%. Nobody's got a product better than me right now. And he's like, and I know that for a fact.
I can tell you, like, when I was putting our second gym, our Katie
but
gym
yeah,
in,
I agree.
Like, I did look to see, like, who's where. Like, because they're like Jeff Messina, I got High and Gracie, yeah. I got Mark Beecher, I got all these places around us. And I didn't want to be on top of my friends. I definitely want to be right on top of Jeff or right on top of Ted Stickle or one of those guys. But also at the same time, man, I'm not scared of my programs compared to someone else's programs. So if you want to move
more
in down the
street. More jiu-jitsu is better for everybody because you can find – like there are some people that, this, frankly, you don't want in your school. It doesn't fit. Like I've now that I've taken over like the leads and things, I've had people reach out and they'll tell me something that's a red flag. And I'm like, this might not be the school for you. I've got a recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and and that's okay because like if it disrupts my peace, it's too expensive. I don't want it. So I think that's kind of similar. But I think with promotions, it's a little different because you're sharing. The frustration comes from the fact that sometimes you're sharing fighters, right? And so if somebody gets injured on this card or something like, and I can understand that, but I think like people should view it as healthy competition because in the end, it's growing jiu-jitsu.
So the way I look at it, and I think it's probably from someone.
Man,
it's very, very easy. Very easy.
I went down a little too smooth. I think I needed some more ice. In there. I was like, I don't want ice.
That's a Howlerhead whiskey endorsement for you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a Howlerhead.
I dumped out all the ice. I was like, I don't want more ice. Who needs ice? I want whiskey.
What do you think about Howlerhead? This ain't your first time drinking it.
No, this is. You know what I like about this? All right, do y'all know who Amy Winehouse is?
Yes.
Okay. R.I.P.
Amy Winehouse. Yes, probably one of my favorites ever. Amy Winehouse had this drink called a Rixtacy, which is like you drink it, you're going to be in the corner for the rest of the night. Like it's banana liqueur. It's like three types of like it's whiskey, like three other types of like vodka. But this tastes
half
like
a glass of codeine,
like an easier version of a Rixtacy.
Yeah,
that's why I like it.
It's really good. It's oddly smooth to drink.
Are you
and
mixing
I don't like
it?
Banana stuff.
Are you drinking it straight?
Well, I put a little dash of Coca-Cola in there.
So but you drink it straight.
Hey, listen, you got to put that with some root beer, get some monkey beer going on. I'm telling you, it's
that
so good.
Sounds really good.
It is.
I don't really drink a lot of soda, but that does sound good.
What the hell were we talking? Oh, competition.
Right.
So it can be frustrating sometimes when you go and you lose a fighter and then you can't find like someone to replace them because they're. But also at the same point, if that gym and those fighters choose to fight for someone else because they think that's better for them. Hey, have at it. You're making the wrong decision. You're making the wrong choice. And there is a reason why I would say 95%, maybe higher, of the good fighters in Texas. And I don't mean just like they're like people who have shots to go to the UFC. They're on our roster.
You know, Fury.
They're signed to us. They're signed to our roster because why would they go anywhere else? And the same thing with like a now it's harder with a sub hunter. You don't really like. sign people to a roster on Sub 100, but maybe.
But when you prove yourself repeatedly, you don't have to keep telling people how good you are. Like, that's kind of how I see it. Like, if I'm winning, like, if I have results, if I'm doing what I need to do, I don't have to get up here and beat my chest and tell you I'm good. You know I'm good because now you're focused on me. And so that's kind of, I don't mean me literally. That's not really cocky, but like.
No, you mean you, Maggie.
That's kind of how I see
you
it.
You mean you. We understand.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't disagree, but I don't think competition's bad. I think it does suck though when people are intentionally doing things to be like petty and like undercut each other and stuff. And I think my issue before with some of the like falling out with with Seth or whoever it was.
You don't add all the additional names to the pie.
It felt like, well, that's the only one I'm really super familiar with. It felt like kind of petty and intentional, and I feel like there's no reason to do that. If you're doing everything that you need to do, then why?
With Seth?
Yeah.
Hey, could you chew your ice any louder for all of us to hear?
That's all right.
Hey, this ice moment was brought to you by Live Oat Vodka. Yeah. Make sure you check out Live Oat Vodka, Texas's only vodka.
Yeah, I don't even mean you guys. I mean more people who like represented like the organizations, like people arguing about whether you should be on here or reaching out to somebody saying, don't do this card, don't do this card. Like, don't mess up opportunities.
Well, that was a really, for me, when that shit happened, that was a really fucked up moment because I didn't know.
You thought y'all were cool.
Yeah. I had hired Seth. For people that don't know, Seth worked with me years ago when I first started promoting back in 2010. Seth reached out and said, hey, I can do your lighting. I can bring the cage. I can do all that. So we became friends. And he would come and set up and do the cage, do the lighting for my MMA events. And then it kind of stopped and he sold his equipment to Jack, Jack Moores. Right. And Jack and Alex Black took it over.
Right.
And then I talked to Seth just here and there in passing and stuff, whatever. But I thought we were still cool.
Yeah.
And then years later, you know, when I decided in 2016 that I was going to start Submission Hunter Pro, the day I released either the apply now or the poster, like all of a sudden Seth and Missy fucking went in on Facebook and started. This bullshit ass promotion, this is going to be garbage, and who does he think he is? And that was because, like, Missy was training at Team Took with us, and I had just probably talked to her at the gym as friends, like, a couple days before.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck was that?
I think she was the one that fired the first shot. She wanted to fight you first or something, right? Or I don't know. Somehow.
I don't know.
Somehow, like the first like male and female match on a card?
Yeah, she said something about it.
I think that was hard too and weird because you guys trained together. Y'all were friends there. Like,
well, me and Jose were really good friends.
Yeah.
So many things can
and Jose
be solved,
was dating
though,
her
by like not posting shit on social media and actually just like reaching out to people, be like, hey, we've got an issue. But 9 times out of 10, people don't do that.
No, I reached out to both of them before I posted anything, and I was like, hey, if y'all want to talk about this, because this shit, like,
well,
I had no idea that y'all, and neither one responded. So I was like, okay. Yeah.
You know what though? The more successful you get, the more common this is. I remember my dad telling me. At a certain point, it's always stuck with me. My dad said, you know, people are okay with you until you start doing well.
Right.
People are
or until
cool.
you're doing better
until
than
you
them.
Start doing better
and
than
even
them.
Even if you're not
yeah.
doing better than them, like, people are cool with you when you're not a threat, when you're not competition. The second that, like, that flips, then you're going to see who your friends are. Then you're going to see who really supports you. And I found that to be completely true throughout all of
them. I've lost a lot of friends and family.
You found out who your real friends and family are.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it happens, and sometimes you find out that, like, you know, blood doesn't always equal family, you know, and you know, just relationships and marriage and things don't always equal family. Like, I've got more, my family is my friends. Like, my friends are my true family. And so, like, when we talk about, you rarely will see us, anyone at Fury, you rarely see anybody through Garcia Promotions respond to somebody online. It's very rare. Now, when we do, it's probably aggressive.
We've had enough.
But for the most part, I think we all kind of carry the way. One, we don't have time for it. Yeah. Number two, I don't value the opinion of someone beneath me.
Oh, he said peons.
You're a peasant. When you see me, I kick up that pinky when I'm having my Starbucks drink, baby. You're a peasant.
Stop.
I don't care about your opinion. You said
Rich Burmaster punches up.
100%. Your opinion means nothing to me. There's about four people in the world who I consider above what we do, and they're all at the UFC. So outside of that, I don't care what your opinion is. If Mick calls and says, hey, you guys, man, I'm going to listen. But if you're some ragtag promotion that's done a handful of events and have sent nobody, you don't know how to do matchups, you don't know how to get anybody to the UFC, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. And to add to that, if you are from a ragtag promotion or whatever it is, or you're just starting out, you know, the best way to make your promotion better is not by attacking other people's promotions. If you haven't figured out by now that you need a mentor, like that you need to find somebody who's doing, like, I always believe that you find somebody who's more successful than you and you find out how to be successful. And right. then they can share that with somebody else and you kind of pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. And if you haven't learned how to do that yet, you're not going to be successful.
It's funny you mention that because you'll see the promotions, like we support Brendan Allen's All in Louisiana. So they're not on Fight Pass, but if Brendan calls and says, "Hey, I'm trying to find a match for this guy. Or I need this." Like, we'll take the time to help him. I'll share his stuff and help promote him. For a while, we were going to try and go to like other Texas organizations, and have the three of us, four of us go to a show, do a podcast from there, talk about what's going on. We did it for Reed.
At Paradigm. Yeah.
Like we want to see other places succeed because the path should be, if you are a smart promoter in Texas or really anywhere in the United States, you would want your small regional promoters, you'd want your fighters to get to Fury.
Yeah.
Because then they can go from Fury to the UFC.
And also, like Texas has some really talented people.
We'd love to work. We'll work with anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to work against you. I don't have time for that.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I took us off.
No.
This is the show. This is
what we do.
The show. Hey, speaking, we had Submission Hunter Pro 87 this weekend. What'd you think?
I'm not going to lie. I was super looking forward to Mia's match. That was like the one that I was most looking
forward
to.
She was the opener.
Yeah.
She has like developed as a fighter, not just in like obviously jujitsu, but in MMA, but specifically jujitsu. That was really cool.
I
didn't think she was going to pull off a leg lock.
I was surprised.
The second she walked out, I was like, oh, she's got this.
I was surprised by her patience. Like she dealt with the leg lock attempts like very, very well. She was very patient. She never like over panicked and over committed to really trying to escape and run away. She did a great job of staying focused, and that knee bar was beautiful.
She's going to be successful because she's a different breed. Like when you see people who've been dragged into the deep end and they can remain completely calm, those are the people you should be scared of. I saw her walk out and I just knew. I was like, oh, she's going to win.
We talked about how for her age, she's like so mature for her age too.
That loss that she took against Kara Greenwell in the cage did something to her.
I think it lit a fire.
Yeah, because for her to come out like that in grappling, wait till she fights in December, man.
Yeah.
That's when it's December, right?
Yeah.
12-3. I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan.
Yeah. She's fun. The card had some awesome matches on it. I really was entertained by watching Alex Black and Jake Heffernan come out. Mm-hmm. I love seeing the MMA fighters turn grapplers, which is, it's funny because you get to the end of your career and fighting and you're like, I guess I'll take up this other sport now.
I feel like there were only like three decisions maybe, or three refs decisions on the main card.
On the main card, I think there was three. There was
Lynette,
Hope Holmes and Lynette. There was
Ricardo and Ricardo.
I feel like didn't reflect how good that match was. I actually feel like Hope Holmes and Lynette had a really good match.
But some people that don't know that game don't realize what's really going on.
Gi is really hard to come across entertaining if you don't know what you're watching.
No, I agree. I think if you're not knowledgeable about it, it's not super fun. But I think this is a part of why I've seen the whole Make the Gi Great Again. Like, we're not all going to be Miragali. But even if I watch like the fighters from AOJ, they're so precise. And so like I can see the little things that they're doing and they're so precise and they're great at what they're doing. And it's like, if you love the gi, you see the intricacies and you enjoy it because you're like a nerd. But if you don't, I'm not going to lie, it isn't super successful.
Well, have we had any gi matches on Fight Pass Invitational? There's been none.
None yet.
None yet. But none they yet. Want.
Well,
maybe you December. Need some judokas on there because that probably would be what would make it interesting.
The December, once the Invitational is fully released for December, like it'll...
some like super heavy old female black belts. That might be a great idea.
You know what's funny as well too, like you watch the Damian Aronde and Michael Escobar, which was our other decision.
Oh, that's right.
So that was a no-gi
that
match.
Was Austin.
Austin,
I'm sorry. Austin.
That was
Austin
a good match. That was a no-gi match.
That unless you really knew what you were watching, could be kind of boring because it was Michael Escovel threatening from bottom with leg attacks.
And I'm sitting here like, wow, what a cool transition. Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. You got, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching Austin roll out like so smart, man. He rolls all the way out because he knows that's going to break the submission. Super smart.
The reality is jiu-jitsu is kind of niche in the same way. Yeah. Not as niche as Muay Thai, though. I think Muay Thai is very, very niche. I think like
clearly by the promotions that rise and fail when it comes to kickboxing and
but
Muay Thai.
But it's the people actually that make a big difference. So whether you love Gordon Ryan, whether you hate Gordon Ryan, he's kind of sold people a little bit more on that. And he is doing Nogi, but it's like, if you don't have an attachment to it already, if you're not training, like why? Like, well, I want to ask people, why do we want to watch you? Like, what is
that? Yeah. And to be fair, it's way easier to train jiu-jitsu than it is Muay Thai. Like your body's
I don't agree with that, actually. I think
it's harder. Striking and boxing is going to be easier.
Yeah. Here's why I think it's harder. Mm. I think it's harder because I think jiu-jitsu, you're going to have to spend more time getting dragged through the deep end to be good at it.
Sure.
Because, 100%. And I think people forget about that. How many people quit jiu-jitsu before they ever get to blue belt? How many people quit before black belt? Like Muay Thai is like, I'm not saying it's not special. It very much is. Like if you're a pussy, like you're not going to want to do it. If you don't want to get hit in the face, you're not going to want to do it. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, I've leveled up. This is where I am. Jiu-jitsu? Possibilities are endless.
I think if you were to talk to people like, Recipes Crew Pong's all here longer, but like Michael Altman and some of the kickboxing coaches that's been around a long time, mm-hmm. you would see that the percentages of people who quit Muay Thai and kickboxing are just as high.
Absolutely. But I'd like to see the amount of people who start training Muay Thai to begin with compared to the people who start training. Because jiu-jitsu, if you tell people like it's low impact, right? So when I say it's harder, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of people that are like,
all of us grab our neck.
But when you say that, like people are going to go, I'm sure there's going to be people who are going to be pissed off about this actually. Oh no, Muay Thai is way harder. I don't mean it in the sense that like Muay Thai is not gritty, that people don't get hurt. It very much is. But there's so many different levels to jiu-jitsu.
Right.
There's gi, there's no gi, there's different components of it. Like it's jiu-jitsu, if you're like invested for life, this shit is hard. It's hard.
I think I can appreciate both sides. Coming from, like, I started wrestling at 9. So like coming through wrestling, it was easier for me to transition over to jiu-jitsu and that feeling than it was to take striking classes. And I could definitely see where, look, to be good at either one of them, you're gonna have to not be a pussy. Yeah. You're gonna have to be okay with.
Don't we have a shirt that says that?
Don't be a pushy. Yeah.
Don't be a pushy. To me though, it's apples and oranges because I shouldn't even say that because
why can't fruit be compared?
It's gonna depend on the person, right? Because Muay Thai for me, I think it's incredibly difficult. I remember going to Thailand with one of my friends who was training out there. I had zero experience. They thought I had experience. Why the fuck did you let me hold pads on the first day? I got kicked in the head. I literally saw stars. I thought that was something that only happened on Looney Tunes. That's when I realized I'm not about this life. I can slap a bitch at the bar. I have no interest in being in a cage. I'm going to do jiu-jitsu.
So like with y'all having the new gym, y'all have no interest in starting an MMA program?
We're actually going to be starting a striking program. I don't want to talk too much about that.
MMA will be right behind it. Because you know they've got some teenagers there who are like, we want to be in the UFC.
They want to fight.
That is something that we are doing. That's something we're saving for the new location because we just don't have the space.
Cody Owens over there who can definitely help with that.
Yeah, that might be the person who's helping with that. That's something that we want to develop just because I want to give people opportunities. Thanks for making the announcement. We want to give people opportunities, and I want people to like find what they're passionate about or what keeps them coming back or what keeps them from getting in trouble, whatever it is, like whatever your reason to show up to the gym is. So. Yeah,
I'm digging it. Like I'm glad we just broke news here on air. I hope Cody knows.
He did mention
I'm like reading between the lines and everything. I'm sure he knows.
Mike is like texting me like, why are you saying that?
I know you guys have gone through a lot of, I guess, red tape with the new gym, getting it open. Everything was supposed to happen in July.
Here July 1st we were supposed to be in. Today
Let's talk about the journey.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Ashton started training. My son started training with you guys whenever it was like a single car garage gym back in the day.
Melissa's gym?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
back
in
the day.
On Spring Cypress?
Yeah, over there. And it's expanded. Y'all are on, I think, your third or fourth location now.
Third.
And then we're going into this mm-hmm. huge new megaplex. What's the trajectory for that?
Like when?
Is there a tentative date?
Hey, really quick, if anybody works for the Harris County Permit Office, reach out to me, please. Let me
Such
know.
A pain
no,
in the ass, right?
No, you know what? It's not our building. Our building is built out. It's actually perfect. What we're running into is the issues with like I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. Like
you can say whatever you want. They're not listening.
Sewage. So they one thing they look at is the area outside of the building, right? Like sewage. Like is it ADA disability compliant? Is it? They moved something a fourth of an inch and had to redraw basically everything on there, and it has to go through like approval. It's been like, I'm not gonna lie, it's been an absolute nightmare. It's been the biggest source of stress. Everybody's like, oh my God, you've lost weight. You look great. That's why I've lost weight. I'm incredibly stressed. I'm so stressed. I haven't even been sleeping. I'm here drinking Howlerhead. This is why I'm here. But anyway,
as you should be.
We're gonna get there. I know that we're gonna get there, but it is frustrating because Mike and I were like, we're so excited about it. Like I remember where we started, right. And like I remember talking to him about this dream of having this building that we felt like finally fit the quality of what our jiu-jitsu is like, and like we're not rich people. Neither one of us came from money. Neither one of us came from means. We worked our ass off to be here. And I'm going to say for the most part, Mike worked his ass off to be here. We saved every bit of money and ourselves that we have, we poured into that new building. And so to not be able to move into it yet is super frustrating. To like be delayed again and not be able to have growth is frustrating. But I also know that like everything happens for a reason. I'm going to go ahead and go with that. And it's just like, we're just ready to be in there already.
Will y'all move in before the end of the year, you think?
I sure hope so. I don't want to say that because I thought there was a point in July where I was like, we're going to move in August. And then in August, I thought we're going to move in September. And in September, I thought we're going to move in October. And now we're halfway through October. So
and the holidays are about to hit.
I'm hoping before January. We kind of, the nice thing about our gym is that we have people that are really supportive. We're at a point where like every other day people have stopped sending me messages asking me when we're going to move because I think they realize that I'm really frustrated, but they keep saying, hey, when you need anything, let me know. I will drop everything to like come and help you guys move stuff. And that's, I'm grateful for that. We have a good community of people around us. And while it has been frustrating to kind of like delay, and it's probably been good for the other people around us, I can't wait to get in that building. Like
it's a man, that's one thing you said, like the community, that's something that these schools build that is so cool. And I think that when I know for us, when we're talking to like prospective parents who are coming in and we're talking about, listen, your kid's going to literally build a family here.
Yeah.
And the longer you stay here, the more you're going to be a part of this family. And that's so cool to hear you guys talk about this community you've built, because it literally started with no community.
Yeah.
And now you guys have built and fostered this, and that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Very cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's cool to see Mike, because Mike came into Submission Hunter too, like at the beginning of probably the first year of Submission Hunter.
Yeah.
And he was traveling everywhere with me. Like,
yep.
Man. You can take him back. You can take him
back. Dude, we've had him home enough now.
He's all right. We like him.
She says that now. She'd miss those elbows.
There was months where we would do like Biloxi, Mississippi, Chicago, Atlanta, and there's Mike in the passenger seat. And then it even got to the point, like people don't know, like, he would be driving the truck pulling the trailer while I was asleep, and then we would switch places, and I would be. But for him, he was like, "Man, this is just more flexible for me, and I love jiu-jitsu."
Yeah,
and
see,
he knew.
This is back when Eric actually liked Submission Hunter. Now
the more successful you get, the more problems you have.
Now we're like, all shows are in Houston, and we'll go to Killeen. That's
well,
it. Boys.
What people don't understand is like our schedule has gotten so much more tight because of Fury.
Yeah.
That we have to move around so much for the MMA stuff.
And that was always the point, always the dream.
What people,
to get Fury to this point.
Yeah. What people don't understand as well is that Eric is very much involved in his promotion to the point where he might have trouble relinquishing some things and letting people do stuff. But this kind of speaks to the quality of it as well, because you don't see most people at that level who feel that way about it, and he still does. And I think that's pretty important. I'm glad that Mike was with you pretty early on. I remember talking to somebody and they're like, doesn't it bother you that like Mike's gone every weekend and he's doing that? I'm like, no, he could be doing some bullshit. I'm glad he's doing something he cares about. And I think that made it, I actually think that made our relationship better. Also, I got to like starfish in the bed by myself and watch like Outlander and shit.
Like,
so,
hey, and screw people who ask questions like that too, by the way.
All the time. All the time. I think people need some sort of drama in relationships. We don't have much of it. He does annoying shit. He throws his underwear next to the basket. That fucking pisses me off. The basket's right. The basket's right there. Throw that shit in there. Other
What's
than that,
basket?
Man. I love this man.
What
He's
is
great.
The basket for?
We have so much
it's
fun on some of those
thing
trips.
Thing that's
though,
next where you throw your underwear on the floor.
Right? Yeah, apparently no one in your gender knows what it is. So that's where the laundry
goes. That's where my wife just stores random clothes.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know how you mix your clean clothes with your.
Just whatever. It goes
this
on the
fucking
ground.
Guy. I can't.
Yeah, I throw it down there. To be fair, though, for a while, my wife made me like wash. I'm not allowed to wash her clothes because I'll just go in blindly and just dump everything in,
puts we have a laundry separation.
Actually, that's no, that's me. Yeah. To be fair, that's towels, me as well.
Towels, I don't give a shit. It's all it's all going in there.
I'm not gonna act like I'm the one who's good at that. I dump everything in that shit, and I'm like, we're just gonna get clean.
I fold my shit a certain way. I wash my shit a certain way. We have a laundry division at our house too.
When but first, I don't wear white clothes. Like, to be fair,
you're racist. Our first year of being married, like she would come in the room, she'd be like, "This shirt used to fit me." And on my side, I'm like, well, don't eat as much. What do you want me to tell you? You know? And she's like, you put it in the dryer. I'm like, okay. Or,
this is rich, by the way.
I'm bad for leaving stuff in the dryer too long.
Oh, I broke it.
Wow.
Look at that.
That's all right.
I'm a super heavy, so.
Wayne will drink the rest of it. You don't have to close it.
Yeah. Oh, did you just jam that back in there? How are we supposed to get it out?
Jiu-jitsu grips, man. See, I don't know if you've got them.
It's like grabbing a gi right there.
See, it's why we have a no-gi school, you know, really.
I do love no-gi, though.
Knuckles to open this bottle now.
Do you have a preference for yourself, gi or no-gi? Because I only ever see you rocking your gi.
You know what? That's because super heavy women don't want to be in no-gi gear. I'm convinced that's what it is. Every time I've signed up for a tournament, I've never had anybody for no-gi. If I'm being totally honest, I actually prefer no-gi only because it's easier.
Yeah, like I saw your vacation pictures. Yeah, you have no problem taking off the gi.
Jesus.
I asked Mike too. I was like, man, can I?
Is it okay?
I was like, this is Cairo's mom on the internet. Can I have my booty out here? Mike was like, you got your own business. You don't work for the school. You can have your booty out.
Mike's like, thanks. Like, I got my booty out.
Right. It's true. I thought about, I actually, it's so funny. I went back the other day and I was like, I think I should take this picture down. And I like removed it.
When the alcohol wears off, I was like, oh, damn, I posted it.
I was sober in that picture. I just wanted people to know mama still got it.
I was trying to get you out, but, you know. Indeed, Mom and I still got it.
I like no-gi. I love no-gi. I actually find it easier because despite being big, I'm pretty athletic. I think the gi.
You play rugby.
Yeah, the gi slows me down a little bit. I think the reason I like gi so much, though, is because I'm not as good at it. Like, there's so much to keep learning. So I wish I could do no-gi. I would actually love to do a no-gi match.
I know Mike has done a number of Submission Hunter events for us. You've never competed for Submission Hunter, have you? So when are we going to see you on the stage?
When you can find somebody who's a super heavy. Well, to be fair, I did tell you at Purple Belt, I said, I'll do it when I'm a black belt, so now I feel like I probably have to do one.
We'll find somebody now.
Yeah.
We've got to get a call-out video. We're going to make a Maggie Torres call-out video.
I don't really have any rivalries. I pretty much like everybody that I've ever competed against.
Randy Miller, the wrestler, she would probably come back and do one.
I think we're probably pretty different weights, but
I don't know what either.
So let's make that one not a no-gi match.
I'm not guessing anyone's weight here.
Where did she used to train with Drew?
She trained at War.
She's so good. So good.
Dude, she's amazing. Did you see her video there? She's pulling a fire truck or some shit.
I love that shit, though. I love strong women. That's my jam.
Pulling a fire truck.
Yeah.
Hey, just being strong.
What about Madison Gwynn? She just came back from sumo wrestling.
They're not the same.
We're very different weight. So for the record, I'm going to put this out here. I'm 185 pounds. There are probably a lot of people who are not comfortable saying their weight. I am not one of them. I'm 185 pounds. That's super heavy division.
You have said ultra heavy 4 times. I don't think you have any concerns with what other people think.
But anything above 175, and this is my frustration too, anything above 175 is super heavy for women.
Which brings a question to me that I'd like maybe your opinion and thought on. So why is it okay to say that Lizzo is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell a woman she looks like Lizzo.
I've never heard that, actually.
That was a joke I heard yesterday. I died laughing.
She is pretty.
This lady got on the leg. She goes, this man said I look like Lizzo. I'm like, well, he said,
I don't think that's a bad thing. You could do worse.
You're beautiful.
Lizzo has a stylist. Lizzo has people working with her. You could look worse.
Lizzo, I don't know what to think about her sometimes. Sometimes I see her and I'm like, girl, you have the most... Like, you don't give a shit attitude.
I love that.
Anybody
if
on
you
the
tell
planet,
a woman
which I respect.
She looks like Lizzo, you might get slapped.
You know what, though? It's depends like 50/50 on chance. It depends on what woman you tell, woman. Because if you told me that Lizzo reminds, like, you're like, oh, you remind me of Lizzo, I wouldn't be upset at all because she's got confidence. And I love that, though.
Rich, I appreciate
I don't
where
know.
You're trying to go with that. I was trying to back that.
I thought it was a great joke.
No,
I get what you're saying, though. Actually, I know it was a joke, and then I ruined it by, like, overanalyzing. I love to do that shit. Like, but
awkward front desk lady.
Maybe you haven't met my wife. This is my life. Y'all wonder why I say inappropriate stuff
now
all the time.
Strong woman shitting on Rich's joke.
Yeah, this is
what it would
everyday life.
She'd be like, you shouldn't say that. I'm like,
Okay.
But
you, maybe you said it because of this. I'm like, thank you for using your psychology degree on me once again.
But speaking of altar heavies, if you guys do a women's thing, it does need to be an absolute division, because when you give these weight limits, they're like 400 pounds. That automatically means that there's no heavyweights that can be on the team. And those are usually the people that want to fight. So,
but you, how do we get the everyone? So listen,
big cash prize, women's absolute.
You're not, we tried that.
Well, we didn't do an absolute, though. I actually think that would make a difference. The part of the problem was there's so many politics in jiu-jitsu, and there's even more in women's jiu-jitsu. So I think what we were running into with that was, one, it was the same weekend as Nogi Worlds, ADCC. That's what it was. It was the same weekend as ADCC, was always going to be a problem because we were talking about doing Nogi, right? So I think if it falls actually in maybe Nogi season, but not during like ADCC or Nogi Worlds, which I think is December 7th?
December 15th.
I think it's 7th this year, right? 7th through the 9th.
They're not a paid sponsor. Austin, it doesn't
Austin
matter
is
when
December,
it is.
Yeah. December 16th for their
An absolute division, women will do it. But I think you're probably going to get people from outside of Texas as well. And I know that that's like the priority is to get Texas fighters in there. But we've got a lot of really good people around Texas as well.
Well, now that we're on Fight Pass and stuff, and there's a little bit more of a budget that we can bring in.
Yeah. Well, if you ever decide that you just need somebody to coordinate female matches, man, I'm a nerd and I'm super happy to do that.
Again, we saw that. This isn't something I think, as you saw our responses, like we're not a. I would love to.
Yeah.
We've thought about it and tried it. I would love to do another like all women's here.
Got to brainstorm a little bit about how to make that happen. But I think, like for women, the reality is we keep asking for more matches, so we have to start showing up. Like, you just got to start showing up and being present. Like, I used to not register for divisions because I'd go, oh, there's nobody in the division. And I thought about it. I was like, well, what if somebody's waiting for me to register for that division? So then I would just start registering.
Who's the girl from Oklahoma that was a brown belt for the longest? And then, is she still a brown belt? I can't remember her name. She was heavier.
Boys from Oklahoma.
What she look like?
Joints all
black chick.
Ah, Tiara. I love Tiara.
Is she a black? Is she a black belt?
I don't think so. Not yet.
I don't think she's a black belt yet.
What about the one from Ohana, Danielle? Has she gotten her black belt?
Mm-hmm.
The blonde?
How about
Guevara?
That?
Not Guevara. What is
Daniel Walker?
Walker. Yeah,
she's awesome.
What does she weigh?
I think she's a heavyweight for sure.
So could you and her go?
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
There you go.
I ain't scared of nobody.
I mean, yeah, I'll take a match. I would honestly, I'm not going to lie. I would love to have a match at some point.
She rolls with Mike.
What about Rich in a wig? Would you roll with Rich in a wig?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll wear a fucking wig.
But
we'd have to glue it on because it'll probably fall
this
off.
Rochelle Burmaster.
Hey, we'd have to.
Rochelle Burmaster
we'd
coming
have to glue
out.
It
I'm
on.
Done with you.
Y'all know I'm coming out to some Lizzo. So
there will be. We will do have. We'll have another women's card. It will happen. But I do think maybe an absolute might be the way to go.
Do we have time to make an all women's card before the year ends?
Man.
Not with ADCC in Austin in December.
Mm.
But you. You pay your competitors.
Is that the last trial of 2024?
Does ADCC
no, 2020. I think the last trial is in
of 20. Yeah, I think so.
Let me make sure.
What's the date?
I'm pretty sure it's December 16th.
Yeah, I was trying to drag you into the into the pool. I know you like to talk about that. How people prefer to go pay to compete.
I guess it just depends
potentially
on
potentially earning a commission and a
somebody
win
asked me about that the other day. They're like, why do you do that? And I think for some of us, like I think I was one of those people, and you and I had this conversation because you were like, well, why haven't you competed for us? I actually, up until probably like brown belt, I just did not think I had very exciting jiu-jitsu. I literally competed because I hated competing and I felt like I needed to do something that I didn't like. And now I actually love competing. So it's a little bit different. I think that's how a lot of people feel, though. They're like, why would anybody want to watch my jiu-jitsu?
What is your take on like tournaments? Like there's a lot of local tournaments that don't get a lot of competitors sign up yet.
I would say perhaps those tournaments should reflect on the quality of their reffing, and I would say those tournaments should reflect on who they're hiring as well. Like I think,
what do you do when you have the exact same refs who ref in that as we have had on our stages before, and people still choose to do an IBJJF?
Some of that has to do with rankings, honestly, because a lot of people care about their rankings, and I understand that. some of it has to do with just that, like, there's a lot of anxiety about, like, when you're on a stage, people are watching you. If you're in a tournament, there's a chance that there's a million other people who don't give a shit about my master two brown belt ultra heavy match.
Tournament versus tournament, though. Like, let's say you got grappling games and what's something else? Rick Menard's, TGC.
Okay, or like World League.
Naga, World League, whatever.
People have their preference. I think... without trying to be super controversial, I think there's a few teams in Houston who make it not fun to compete, if I'm being honest, because they seem to sort of have the refs in their pocket.
That's the problem.
And
right
that's
there.
Not fun. And it, I think everybody knows who I'm talking about without me even saying anything. I'm trying to get right with the Lord, so I'm not going to say that. But for example, like in IBJJF, right, if a kid if somebody throws up on the mat, you're disqualified. I've seen a particular team where this kid vomited in the middle of the mat. She was supposed to get disqualified. The ref said disqualification. Then their coach came over and said, no, he's good to fight. And then, they're Brazilian. And then he came over and fought and then ended up winning the division. Like, nobody wants to compete for something when the rules don't apply to everybody. It sucks. It's not fun. It isn't fair. It sucks when I have to tell my, and I've only run into this recently because I've started working with kids and I wasn't coaching kids before because I'm kind of mean. Apparently that's what Mike says. But
hey, you coached Ashton.
I love Ashton.
And
Ashton's
great.
He's not a whiny crybaby, so we're good.
Exactly.
But like, it's not fun to have to tell kids, I'm like, I don't get why I lost that. And you don't want to be that person that's like, well, you lost because the ref was bad, because you're trying to teach kids like sportsmanship and
even
stuff
if
like that.
The truth, right?
And yeah, and it's not fun. You don't want to do that. So I think sometimes it feels like there's preference for particular teams. And I think everybody knows who I'm talking about. And and it just sucks.
I don't understand.
Wayne doesn't know who
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I understand
I'm asking for everybody who wants to know.
I understand the value for schools. I understand the value of ADCC. I do understand the value of that. There's some money into that can be won.
Yeah.
If you're one of like eight people on the planet,
you're gonna
win some money.
Yeah.
But Mickey Rod.
For the people who put IBJJF on such a pedestal and actually care about like their rankings, mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Because I can tell you now, have you ever gained one student because of what you did at Worlds? I haven't.
I think quite a few people have, but I think it depends on your performance. I think for me personally, it's more of a personal thing. Actually, like we were talking about this the other day. The reason I always do IBJJF is it's the only tournament where I have people.
She went out.
Yeah, her mic went out.
She just turned her microphone off.
Try it again.
Sorry, y'all.
It sounds like you're back.
Yeah, you're back.
It's the only tournament where I have people in my weight class, so I can't speak as a smaller competitor. Like, I think the smallest I've ever been, and this one I had an ulcer, was at 142 pounds, and I was in South Korea, so it didn't really matter. Everybody was small there, so I can't speak for other people, but I think there's something about this, like, this elusive, like, not even elusive, like, IBJJF is, whether you love them, whether you hate them, they have set sort of the standard for jiu-jitsu tournaments. Like, they're the history of like all of jiu-jitsu is in those IBJJF mats. Like, there's so much history there, and I think people want to be a part of that. And then you see like, and I understand it, because there's just a feeling like when you walk into Worlds, even if it's Master Worlds, like, let's talk about old people Worlds, like, you walk in there and there's this feeling, it's electric. Like, there's nothing that feels like that. Like, I can compare that to, like, there's like, this is gonna sound really bad, and people are probably, there are two moments in my life that are like massive and that I'm going to think of, and they probably mean nothing to anybody else. One of them is giving birth to Cairo, and the other one is winning Master Worlds and looking up at those lights and being like, oh shit, I'm in here and I did it. And it didn't matter to anybody else. It's just a personal thing. So I think it's more that.
Do you see a time where you could win, say, like a Fight Pass Invitational in front of millions of people? Mm-hmm. And that have more value to you personally than winning a Master's
Worlds? For me personally, mm-hmm. yes. I don't think everybody feels that way. I think we're going to start to realize no gi is the future. I'm not saying gi is dead. I do think that maybe I actually don't think it is. I think what it needs is some rule changes. What it needs is more aggressive reffing, more consistent requirements and rules and things like that. That's what
MMA?
It needs.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. That. But you see what I mean? That too. Like, yeah. I there are some great like gi matches. Unfortunately, they happen in the women's division and they don't get a lot of attention.
Right. They don't.
Gabriella Pisania, do you know who she is? She's one of the most exciting athletes on the planet, but we're not talking about her.
Well, to be fair, again, I think the average viewer,
she could win a dunk contest. She's real tall.
The average viewer just doesn't care about gi.
They don't. I don't disagree with that.
They tune in now, especially because of Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
You've got the Gary Tonys.
Again, it's niche. How does jiu-jitsu not become niche? It has to become mainstream. Like, even if you look at like Cobra Kai and stuff, there was a point where karate like ruled the world. Yeah. Like, people were walking into like theaters in New York City, like dressed as Shonuff. Like,
That was the cheesy part of the 80s.
Like, it was, why can't that be the cheesy part of the 2020s? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think
because there's no impact. There's no striking.
It matters to the people that are in it. But the reality of that is, as the sport grows bigger, there's more people in it. So there's more spectators that care.
More personalities.
Strikes.
Oh. You need more.
And that's exactly what Gordon's doing.
You need more you. You need more. Like, if there's going to be a woman to lead the charge of actually like making women's grappling entertaining, there has to be a woman who can talk, who can present herself well.
I think there's a lot of them.
I don't see them. What are they doing? Helen Guevara doesn't say shit. Helena, whatever. However,
I don't. But you know what? Her jujitsu kind of speaks for itself, though.
It does.
But you know what? When women do say shit, they get Ronda Rousey'd. That's what happens.
But you need that.
I don't disagree with that. I think you and I agree here, but she's hated, man, and she doesn't even deserve to be hated. Like,
who is Ronda?
Ronda Rousey.
She could back up everything she was saying, and she was still hated.
When you talk about the biggest stars in combat sports, you have to love them or hate them. It's the same as wrestling. Yeah. We talk about you have to love them or hate them. You hate.
You got to be divisive.
Rousey, you hate Ronda Rousey. You'll buy a ticket to watch her.
Watch
lose.
Her get her ass kicked.
Yeah. And that's what's hard for me because I don't ever want to be a divisive person. Like I think talking shit
Since
works.
When do you care about that?
Well, it's not.
You
a,
don't care.
It's
about
just
that.
Not. It's not who I am. Now yeah. I stand up for things that I believe in 100%, and I believe in women's jiu-jitsu.
Do you believe in women's jiu-jitsu? There you go.
1,000%. Boom. But I also don't believe in it so much that I'm going to talk shit to other women to get there. And I think that's sort of why, like, you don't have to have a polarizing viewpoint, but let's be real, that's why people are interested in Gordon Ryan. I don't even like Gordon Ryan, but I'm looking at what he's doing every day. So even I know, as an undercover hater, like, he's actually been really important to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. But it's funny when you look at,
and actually, like, I can't even say I'm a hater because I love his jiu-jitsu. Grappling, I should say.
Stupid.
And man, if he ever gets the gi, Jesus.
He makes it look so easy.
You could be
which
that
is, which
catalyst
the
for
frustrating
jiu-jitsu.
Thing.
Hard work and steroids.
Hey, listen, I would tell you, just like I said, everybody, when they hate on Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens, they hit all those home runs and struck out all those people against other people on steroids.
Ryan.
Gordon Ryan is submitting other dudes. You tell me Galvao was not
on
steroids?
No, 1,000%.
He's on all of them.
I don't disagree with it. It sucks for clean competitors, but I mean, at a certain point, we're like, who's going to be clean?
I can really only think of one good clean competitor.
Mikey Musumeci?
I don't believe he's clean.
Mikey Musumeci is 100% clean.
I don't believe it.
He's passed every single one.
Based off of his diet. He passed the test that he knows he's taking.
You really don't think Mikey Musumeci is clean?
Not clean
Let
at
me
all.
See him.
Not clean at all.
These Pulled opinions.
Not well, to be fair, the Meow Brothers popped hot when they were small. They were small and they popped hot, but I don't think Mikey is. But I think most of the women are not on – well, most of the American women are not on steroids. Hold on. I'm going to show you. Mikey Musumeci. This guy.
He's not on steroids.
I don't think
this guy's on steroids.
No,
nah,
dude, come on. He's not. Can people see this?
He's not.
Okay, look at this same picture of him without a shirt on, shredded to shred shitty.
I mean,
he eats once a day, and he trains for like 10 hours. Pizza and pasta. But he trains 10 hours. He's like 20 something.
He's fine. Dude, I don't think so. I don't think
you're,
so.
Hey, what are you
man,
telling me?
I'll give you. He's shredded, but he's okay.
Look at this dude.
How old is he? Like 21, 22?
I eat pizza and pasta once a day.
But to be fair, there are some just shredded people.
Saw this body on
we
anybody
have some
else.
Fighters that are like that, man. That
Would
are not
I believe
on
that?
Steroids.
Yes, my dad
First
looked like
all,
that for years.
How many people?
Okay, let me tell you, Cody Steele.
Yeah, I don't think he's on steroids. I don't. Maybe
Cody's
I.
Not on steroids.
Maybe it's an unpopular opinion. I don't think he is.
Cody's
I think he's young and
Cody's
has good genetics
drug
on his side.
His last three fights and he has not came.
I think he has good genetics on his side, and
Wait
I think
minute.
He's young.
Wait a minute. The state doesn't test for steroids.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Shit. Do you know how many
cocaine?
Listen.
Stop.
Listen. Hey.
Oh my God.
Do you know how many guys that I've seen, and I'm not going to say any names, that have come back? And
yeah, I know. I know. Listen.
With 5,000.
Hold on. Hold on, though. That being said, Cody Steele also is the exception, not the rule. He's a once-in-a-lifetime athlete.
Yes.
So he doesn't even count in that. He's in a division of his own. Seriously, division of his own.
Did you see him at day one at ADCC?
Yeah.
He's a monster,
Are
man.
You kidding me?
I remember. I didn't even know who he was. And then a couple years ago, I think he was at like Purple Belt. Mike said, this guy is going to be like the biggest dude in the world. And Mike
Dana
is a nerd. I was like, really? Mike said, but I think his avenue is going to be MMA. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, jeez.
So you watched him and Nikki Ryan ran through him again.
Nikki Ryan's phenomenal
you
too.
You tell me
though.
Nikki Ryan's not on steroids, but his brother is.
I didn't say that Nikki wasn't. I didn't say Nikki wasn't. I don't know Nikki well enough.
I think there is more, but let's say
there's more than we want to admit.
I think that there is fewer people not on it than there are on it.
Okay, I don't. You know
what about Matt Jones that just came and fought Justice Torres?
Dude, he's so shredded.
We used. This is hard because we're talking about jiu-jitsu or MMA, right? Yeah.
Well, we're just talking about. Well, I'm saying that because Rich is showing me a picture of Mikey
this is,
shredded. And
this
I'm like,
is hard.
Be like
I think you're right to say that steroids have definitely taken over jiu-jitsu, but at the same time, like, keep in mind, steroids are legal in Brazil,
yeah,
and a lot of other places too. So, like, what kind of steroids? Like, is everybody on trend now? Are they going to all, like, I don't know.
I think, listen, and everybody is on some type of performance enhancer.
Caffeine's a performance enhancer. You know what's not? Marijuana, USADA, unban that.
Whether it's BCAAs you're taking, if it's your creatine.
I see what you're saying.
Like, everybody's on something that's not natural.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
And so you choose then what level of non-natural you want to be.
Okay, this is true, but can we talk about, like, real quick, Trenbolone?
Okay.
This has become, like, a drug of choice for, like, a lot of people, yeah. And it causes, like, psychosis and a lot of really bad things. A lot of the CTE issues and the spousal abuse issues we've seen in, like, athletes, they think they think that's attributed to that. So, like, are there levels? I guess there's levels, right?
Right. There is. It's like anything else. When you look at a Rich Piani who's doing the exact same steroids as a bodybuilder, that let's insert Gordon Ryan. Let's say he's doing the same steroid deck as Gordon Ryan, just at a lesser amount. So, listen, I don't care. I don't care. If everybody's on steroids, cool.
But they're not. That's the problem.
I'm fine with that. If you're one of the few, like Roberto Jimenez, are your Mikey Misumeci, and you're one of the few guys who aren't on it, congratulations. You probably should maybe take some.
This is a bigger problem for men, though, and this is something we're starting to see in the women's divisions. Like, obviously, everybody demonizes Gabby Garcia forever, and that's always going to be a thing. Wow. But like, in the women's divisions, like, I think that's something we're probably going to start seeing more of. But, like, there are women in the masters, like, masters age division winning adult divisions. You don't really see that in the men's as often. You definitely don't see that as often, and that might come down to the lack of steroids in the women's division. I don't know. That could just be me.
I don't know.
I don't know. What's the reason for that, though? Amanda Magda won Europeans. She's, what, 40? I don't want to lie if anybody's listening. 43, maybe?
Didn't,
something like
didn't
that?
Did Mackenzie Dern get busted, and she's not even...
No, not Mackenzie Dern. She busted weight a couple times, but she didn't.
Well, I remember she busted weight. She busted weight for us a bunch, but I want to say she was popped at one
recently.
Time.
Recently?
No, not Dern. Not Dern. Can't be.
Everyone got awful quiet.
This awkward pause brought to you by Howlerhead Whiskey.
Let me see. Mackenzie Dern.
Get that monkey spirit in us while Rich and Maggie Google Mackenzie Dern.
She did not get caught for steroids.
She just said it was. Oh, this was actually 2013. Oh, Mackenzie Dern was rewarded for 25 consecutive not being tested, not being caught.
No, and you get watched or something for that?
The big misconception, too, is that you can look at everybody and tell if they're on performance-enhancing things, and you can't necessarily. Like, there's so many things that are considered performance-enhancing.
Right, it depends on what the performance-enhancing they're taking. It also depends on their genetics.
Like, people testing for performance-enhancing drugs, and, oh, you got to be vilified if you took a performance-enhancing drug. Anybody listening, if they could take something that would make them better at their job and they get paid more money, they're probably going to try it. They're probably going to take it. I get tired of vilifying people for.
I don't know. I think we need to, as we become a more health conscious society, because how many of these people go on to become abusers? How many of these people have psychosis caused by this? How many people have early heart attack? We know multiple MMA fighters who've had heart attacks from, like,
Schwarzenegger.
But they're able to do that. That's their choice.
I think, like, the reality is we should just admit that, like, we all really want, we love a freak show. That's the thing about America. We love a freak show. We, like, if there were somebody telling me, like, we're going to watch an Olympics full of people on steroids and then Olympics of people like me who don't know what the fuck they're doing, I'd watch both of them because they'd be equally as bizarre. But when you see, like, an athlete who's working really hard and they're training for something, I empathize with them when I realize, sorry, it's unfortunate, but everybody else is on fucking steroids. You're doing everything right, but it's not right enough. Like, right. I get
nobody,
that.
Nobody wants to see a bunch of average shows doing anything.
So actually, you don't think the Olympics would be super entertaining if they were just like, Maggie, you're going to run the 400. Oh, that'd be fun as hell.
I would think it would be cool if they didn't tell you what you were doing until right beforehand. Like, you're all just standing there aligned. They're like, Eric, hurdles, Wayne, decathlon, Maggie, high jump, Rich, 100 meters.
Actually, I want to see that.
That would be fun, but for the most part, you don't want to see the average person do anything. That's
Should
why,
we bring
that's why
Michael Torres is here. Should we bring him in?
Bring him on in. That's why, tell him to read the numbers.
He's been here before. He knows how to get in here.
He has been here before.
But, I mean, going back to Rich, it's the perfect example. This is the one that I go to all the time, is the home run derby. Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa. Oh, I mean, people want to see the freak show.
Okay.
But then when do they find out the secret sauce?
Wait. But in baseball.
How dare they take something that helps them hit 80 home runs?
In baseball, how much capacity is there to injure another person?
You've been hit by a ball.
Okay, right, but it's not. I've
never seen a headline that's like man on steroids hit someone in the face with a ball. Like, but if you're on steroids, and this is going to be, I don't want to bring up the other issues with like women's sports and stuff. But like, if you're on steroids and you happen to like, let's say you're on Trend. I'm sorry, I keep hitting on the like talking about the Trend Bros, but I really do because I know so many people whose lives it's ruined. Like, it causes psychosis, it causes all sorts of problems. If you're on Trend and then you kill someone, like they're like, you know, and I guess that probably hasn't happened a lot because we're not seeing a lot of headlines on that, are we? But
it shouldn't be a part of combat.
Mike Torres, thank God you're here, man. We're gonna need you to calm her down.
Do you want to come in?
No, he's fine.
Hey, you want some Haller?
Hey, we don't have a microphone or a chair for him.
Sure. You can come sit next to me.
Let me get Mike some ice.
Bring that floppy hair.
She,
on over
what
here,
she
buddy.
Really wants is for you to dig those elbows in her thighs. She really,
it was me digging the elbows in.
Nah.
All right, guys. As we get this set up, man, make sure you check out our sponsors, OnlyFans.com/HurryFire. Once again, that's OnlyFans.com. Sheath Underwear, Howlerhead Whiskey, Live Oak Vodka, Private Label Bags, Space City Collective. Wayne, who am I missing?
Dude, man, Private Label. Did you get Private Label
I got
in there?
Private Label
Did
in
you get
there.
Aces Performance Exhaust, the most
Did we get
exhausted performance there is.
Did we get
Aces Performance
Ronnie
Exhaust.
Ronnie Byerly and the crew over at Kimura Tattoos.
Kimura Tattoo Company. Hey,
where Tom, is that?
Y'all killed that bottle? Y'all did half of that bottle already?
Yeah.
I need that a, was
just
I finally, think it's me.
I finally got the Instagram, or not, the red light treatment.
What the fuck
am
are you
I
talking
on OnlyFans?
Red light treatment? What is a red light treatment?
God damn it, I'm drunk. You know what I'm trying to do? Interrogated.
Is that the red light interrogated about OnlyFans?
About OnlyFans. Anita was like, hey, are you red on light. OnlyFans? Like,
there's a student.
No, I mean, outside of whatever Rich might post on me. So you don't have an account? You don't subscribe? You're not like following or whatever any of these? No.
We're
so,
talking about Trend.
We're finally at that point now where I'm like getting grilled about.
Hey, congratulations.
Am I looking at feet?
Congratulations.
Shit,
I just don't want to see feet. I'm not into the feet.
That's what they're known for, I guess.
Some guys are into that.
Some girls are into that.
Mike, you into feet?
I'm not into feet, but
welcome
I know there's some guys out there. That
there are some girls that are into
I'm
feet.
Not into feet, but I don't like ugly ones.
This sounds like a Tupac song.
why are y'all looking at their feet?
Hey, man. I mean, that's just part of their body.
Listen, if my wife walks by. I know she's not listening right now. So if she walks by.
So you mean to tell me if
they
your
got
wife...
boobs, butt, and I'm going to look at her feet? Why am I looking at her feet?
She might have really nice feet.
Imagine them toes be like crossed, like throwing up gang signs or something like that.
Like my toes.
Hey, that's your wife. That's jujitsu toes right there.
If you met your wife and she had no toes, would you have saved her?
She had no toes?
Yeah. She's out of there.
It would have been a wild
How is she standing? I'd be impressed by how she's standing.
She's out of there.
There you go. Rich likes feet.
Oh, listen. If my wife was missing a body part, it's over.
I mean, technically, like. If that were the case, technically he'd be in the toes.
She knows if, like, if she's in a horrible accident and she loses a limb, I'm like, listen, we had a great run.
And I'm on OnlyFans.
but like, this it's gonna work.
Did you see Ray Bell lost his finger?
Ray Bell lost a finger?
He lost his pinky.
Man. Oh shit! I didn't know that.
He had a boating accident a couple weeks ago. I seen him Friday night.
It was Sunday. I saw him at Submission Hunter.
Well, we saw him at Submission Hunter, but I went to his house Friday night. He was having like a little.
We didn't get invited to that.
He had a burial.
It was his birthday.
What was
it? It was his birthday.
He had a burial for his fingers.
It's like a goldfish in the backyard or something.
But his finger was off, and now he's like it's like that.
So he's missing his pinky.
He's missing his pinky all the way down to the knuckle, dude. And he's in great spirits.
That sounds like he crossed the cartel.
I mean, it could
I don't know,
worse.
Man.
That's like the least worst thing to do.
Yeah, I guess if I'm going to lose a finger, the pinky be fine to lose.
Yeah, because if you lose your thumb, can you grab your Haller?
Nah, dude. You're
I can still get my jujitsu grips.
You're done.
What about without a thumb?
That'd be a good time to figure out what it tastes like.
No thumb.
One of those like robo hands.
No thumb.
No thumb.
Did he find the finger?
Well, Maggie's about to pour whiskey.
Okay, so
trying to prove a point.
I was just like smash. Had to take it off.
Yeah. So when they got to the hospital, these two were mangled, and they couldn't save this one.
Damn.
He was trying to tie a rope, tie a boat something, and his finger got caught in it, and it just.
Oh God.
Be careful, all you boaters out there.
And his wife was like, "Man, he was so calm." Shout out Ray Bell.
Hey,
I just
shout
told
out
you business.
He was calm.
I just put your business out there, Ray.
Because that's not the first time.
Because if you were married
mangled,
to Rich Burmaster, he would fucking leave you because you just lost your finger.
Now listen. I'd have to weigh that differently because if I was married to a dude, just have another guy around the house to help me, shit would be awesome.
So you would keep Ray Bell.
I would be two pairs of underwear next to the
basket. Yeah, be two pairs of underwears, but we'd also both bring home ladies. I'm assuming if we're married because we're not sexual together. We're just gay.
We're not.
We're just gay, but we're not.
I don't know
sexual.
If that's how that works.
Okay. Yeah, you tell me you can't be gay and abstinent?
You absolutely can.
All right.
Wait, where did that come from? I did not say that.
Wow. Now,
why are you telling me he can't be
gay and heterosexual?
No, what?
Maybe he identifies as such.
Maybe me and Ray Bell are in a loving relationship.
What has happened? He has lost to the Fury of
sending love to Ray Bell. I
hold Maggie Torres responsible for whatever is happening right now. This is a
somebody's
going to
take something out of context and be like,
I'm clipping that part out for sure.
All the setup is going to be out, and they're just going to post that one clip and
all
done.
The reels
we're canceled
all the reels did you go through the sub hunter card?
No, we got off on a whole other tangent.
Sorry, we tried.
We made it to Heffernan and a black guy.
And we talked about.
We tried.
We talked about Hope and Lynette. We talked about
the
Mia's
whitest
match.
Black guy on the card.
The whitest black guy on the card.
We kind of touched on the main event.
I didn't touch the main event. Oh, I
no,
see.
No, we
I
didn't touch the main event at all.
I didn't understand what you were saying. Let me go back to that. We did talk about
before
the main
we went
event.
Live. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Bruno Bastos, Ricardo Evangelista in our main event. Two legends. Listen, you don't want to talk. Ever want to talk bad about two legends? Mm. Was it the most entertaining match? No. Is it awesome to see those two on a mat?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Battle of the Legends.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's good to have those.
Look, it was great. It was really cool to see. Look, I got to see a badass sweep at the end from Evangelista on top of a fifth degree black belt. That's pretty damn awesome, yeah. Dude.
This is what we were talking about, though, when we were talking about like why jiu-jitsu to some degree is kind of niche, because people who do it, they look at it and they're like, oh man, that's cool. They did this. It's like a game of inches there. And we're like, oh, that's exciting. But to the average person, they're like, okay, nothing's happening.
Yeah. Why is this, just like marriage, a game of inches. So we talked about Austin Aronde and Michael Escobedo. We had Damian Aronde with the awesome heel hook victory over Cameron Graves. Any people calling me dog in the middle of the.
Von Gessner.
Uh-oh, that sounded serious.
To work. Ruben.
How about Damian versus Cameron Graves?
It was a heel hook.
I know.
That was quick.
It didn't go very long.
I know, man. What happened to Cameron?
Did you just get caught? Cameron wanted to punch in the face and he couldn't. So
it was about a week's notice.
Yeah, it's a week's notice. I mean, I'll be honest, like, you know,
but Cameron's one of the most active guys in the gym because he's ready for a short notice fight.
It was supposed to be Diego Ferreira.
Specific trains for like MMA, right? So like he's not. I wouldn't call him a jiu-jitsu enthusiast. He's definitely a great athlete.
Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to jiu-jitsu, when it comes to being a jiu-jitsu athlete that only does jiu-jitsu, you got to be well-rounded.
We got to think. Damian is in the MMA world now.
Right. But his foundation is IBJJF and jiu-jitsu competitions. Yeah. He can always fall back on that whenever he wants to. It's hard to go from being a jiu-jitsu athlete that hasn't developed a strong game or made it to black belt to go into MMA and then all of a sudden try to transition back into that jiu-jitsu world. Jiu-jitsu has evolved so much, you know? And then as it's evolving, like, if you decide to take a step back, you still have to stay at the forefront of jiu-jitsu, of the evolution of it. So you got to continue to stay fresh and
if you're going
to
compete.
Learn.
All right. So
have the right training partners.
So how crazy does this feel? When we're talking about Cameron in kind of like a, not a past tense, but he's the former champion at Fury, competed in IBJJF long time ago, and he was an active competitor. We talk about Damian Aronde now being the – Cameron's a grizzled pro, 11-7, 18 fights. Aronde is getting ready to take his fourth
amateur
fight. And there seems to be, I even mentioned on the broadcast, I was like, this is kind of a, not a passing of the guard type of match, but in some ways you have this young amateur who's coming up versus this pro who's been around a long time. One's 25, one's 29.
Yeah,
they're
crazy.
Not that different.
Is Cameron 29?
Yeah.
Well, the journey's definitely different, though.
Yes.
The journey's very different. The way that they've developed a foundation. Like, Cameron has a great MMA foundation. Cameron can pass your guard. He can punch you in the face and kick you in the head, right?
Right.
Damian's still developing all of those things. He doesn't have a strong foundation there, but his foundation is sport jiu-jitsu. He's
such
really
good
at what he does. You know, he's been through the grind.
He's
amazing.
Been black belt.
Through he competed at the highest level of jiu-jitsu in IBJJF, you know? So, can't really, like, they're not, I wouldn't say that they're great matchups, but I also wouldn't say that Cameron, you know, given time, he can adapt very well. You know, I think he's a serious athlete enough that he would say, you know what, I'm going to change my focus, go to sport jiu-jitsu, and I'm going to learn these leg locks and develop a good defensive game, you know. Speaks volume. Like, you can't take a guy that, how many fights does he have?
Cameron?
Yeah.
18.
18 fights, man. I've known him since, like, he was in his teens. Like, I went to 18, 19 when I first met him, maybe, you know, and he's always been on the mat.
It's funny, like, I remember, as long as Cameron's been around, I still remember him as, like, this jiu-jitsu kid. Who I saw, and I remember taking pictures of him at like IBJJFs and like the American Nationals and stuff like that.
And then same thing with the Irondes. I remember them as these two long-haired, like, green belt kids. Remember them? They had the long hair on the mat, and they were running around. It's like, who are these two weirdos pulling guard?
Yeah. I think so those guys have such an interesting journey, like, story. If you really think about it, I don't know if you guys ever talked about it, but those two were blue belts, young blue belts, operating a gym in Odessa, right? Or Odessa? Or no, I'm not sure where
they are. Who are we talking
they're
about?
They're in, like, Beaumont area.
Yeah, Beaumont area. So, like, two young teenage blue belts teaching adults jiu-jitsu, kids jiu-jitsu, to now developing, like, kind of an empire on that side of town.
Yeah.
Where they have not just one academy, but two academies now.
Both of them killing it.
Those
both
guys, somebody needs to highlight their story.
Amazing competitors.
How they
Why did they start out
as blue belt gym owners?
Right? But it's a whole family affair, too, because it's their mom. It's
right, exactly.
And their sister. Who's
but not only go from, you know, it's unheard of to see people go as young blue belt instructors to being, you know, top 10 competitors in the world in jiu-jitsu, right? That's a pretty big.
So now they're seasoned black belts with great academies. And just think about how much experience they have at that young age. They're 25 years old, but have been owning an academy and running it since they were blue belts.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
We were talking about your journey earlier.
Oh, yeah?
Where you're headed, man.
Yeah, you're okay.
Trying.
To your fourth location?
Well, moving into our fourth.
Started out in a single car garage.
We have one location, but it's like our fourth
move. I mean, your fourth move. I'm sorry. Yeah. But, dude, like, to watch that has been...
Yeah, 5 years.
Fucking crazy, man.
It's been quite the journey.
We, like, moved every year.
So what's it like to be rich now?
I don't know yet. Not there yet.
Still. Actually, what's it like to be super poor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's more like it.
Right?
It's like the more money you make, the more bills.
People
and
don't see it that
have.
Way, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
Have more expenses now than ever.
We were opening our second location and. I started getting all these like, hey, man, congratulations. You guys are killing it. I'm like, I'm just more in debt. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I just went into twice the amount of debt that I'm already in.
I'm just rolling the dice a little harder on myself right now. That's all we're doing.
Playing Monopoly right now.
That's it, man.
Yeah. Just hoping to keep that bank account afloat, you know, still covering the bills and everything, but providing a very a really good establishment for all the students that, you know, that pay to be there.
How many students y'all have now?
I have over 200 members.
We have 236.
Almost enough. Almost
only
enough to start
paying the
bills
front
at the
desk
new location.
Lady would know that.
Yeah.
Almost enough to break
it. People don't understand how hard it is.
Now
man.
Ask how many people consistently show up to training. How many of you registered?
And a half. Yeah. We got a prospect coming in this afternoon.
What has been on this journey of running your schools together? What's been the hardest lesson you've had to learn?
It's just never-ending lessons. Like, there's just always something. It's like, the bigger you get, the more problems you have. Yeah. The smaller you are, the more...
Local city
the bigger
government.
You want to become.
Right.
You
know. Permits.
And it's just, I think for us, like, just learning how to be patient and just understanding that there's certain things that are out of your control. Like, right now, moving into our new gym, it's out of our control. It's nothing that we're doing wrong. Everything that we've done, you know, it's on our end. We've done good. But... just being patient, really, and having the right people around you that support your business, who also understand your vision. Because if you have people that are countering your vision, then you won't be able to succeed in the way that you want to. But it's just really involving having the right type of people around you the whole time, especially when you're running a business. You know, you run a business, you run all of us run businesses here. So we know the value of like having the right people in place to help us thrive.
I would say it's trusting the process because we know why we got into it and we know why we love jiu-jitsu, but I would say it's like on those days where you're really low because something's going wrong, it's just kind of like reminding yourself why you got into it and particularly why you're running the gym with the person that you're running it with and like just, trusting the process, being patient.
Where can listeners find more out about you guys' gyms?
Well, you can follow us on Instagram, social media, Torres Jiu-Jitsu. Our website is torresjiu-jitsu.com. Our academy is called Torres Jiu-Jitsu. I am Mike
We do
Torres.
Only Jiu-Jitsu, not Zumba, for the people who keep reaching out and asking about Zumba classes. I'm so sick of that.
I saw your post about that. Somebody, how in the hell does somebody get
I feel
the impression
like as a
you guys
joke,
do Zumba?
One of our friends put us on like a Zumba website or something. I'm not even kidding because I had 8 different leads call asking me about Zumba. And like if it's you, Daniel, I'll kill you.
Oh, boy.
just tell them you do Brazilian Zumba and just bring them in and see what happens.
Sign them up.
Yeah, as you start shrimping, it's like dancing. It's fun. Hey, guys, this weekend we have Fury Challenger Series number 8 going down here in H-Town, and we're going to break down this card real quick.
Only 21 fights.
Only 21 fights on the card.
This is one of the biggest cards we've done probably in the last 4 months, five months.
Why do you hate me? Hey, kicking off the card, the one true Garcia still fighting. Lazarus Garcia, the nephew there of what's your name? Eric. Yeah, Eric, man, Lazarus Garcia.
The Sopapilla, Laz Garcia.
The Sopapilla. Coming out for his second fight. This card is stacked full of fun fighters on this card. Xavier Kai. Is it Key or Kai?
It's Key.
Okay, whatever. Rodney Munoz. We got Ross Thurwalker returning against Jesse.
Is that a Jesus title fight Sanchez. Or no?
No title.
No title fight yet. And we got the debut of Sebastian.
We don't give belts away over here, bruh.
Debut of Sebastian.
We don't give belts away over here, bruh.
Sebastian Oyarbidez is a really good athlete, man.
This is why it's
so
hard
to have
the
show. It is. I could tell.
Yeah, Sebastian
Oyarbidez.
Keep an eye on him, man. That kid is something else.
What would be cool is if we like talked a little bit about some of these, you know. I mean,
Maggie
knows Sebastian Oyarbidez.
No, I'm a huge fan.
I watched Sebastian grow up on the Cell Hunter stage, too. He's a stud, man.
He's amazing. He has a good attitude. He has the best work ethic. Like, he's definitely like the example of. We were talking earlier how people need to like make a name by talking shit. He doesn't. He's just really good.
Get this.
His aggressive style is so fun.
Dude. And he sold 80 general admission tickets.
Because he's so well liked. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know that kid well, and I love that kid.
He sold 80 tickets.
Is
he still over there
at
Urban Jungle?
Yeah. With Tony.
Tony Torres of Ponte?
Yep. Great. I'm so excited about that. I feel like I have to go now.
Now y'all have to come.
Yeah, but I've got a toddler, unfortunately, who may have to come with me.
Bring him.
That's definitely. How I bring him. Everybody brings their
Should
kids.
We bring him?
There's a lot of kids there.
We have to ask while we're live. Are we getting free tickets?
I got you.
Awesome.
Hey, guys, I just gave my last pair of free tickets away.
That hey, Connie, if you want to come because we made that terrible joke about you falling.
Free, so we don't need one for Kai.
Also, Mike's mom needs one because you made that awful joke about falling.
I didn't make any jokes. I asked about a video.
We're all out of free tickets after Maggie and
Maggie, listen, Maggie started telling us about your mom falling. Yeah. And then she started telling
she
us
started
how funny.
Laugh.
She
was I didn't mean to laugh. It wasn't
she laughed at
she
you.
Said, and I quote, she said, and I quote, if we had been there, it would probably sounded like squeaking.
I did not
down.
Say that at all.
She was like,
no, I just
squeaked. She hit the ground.
So anyway, that's four tickets. Thank you guys so much.
She was diagnosed. And then she fell down the stairs.
And the dog ran away.
That did not happen.
That was brutal. We're getting canceled.
Listen, don't rewind. Listen to what we said. It's fine. Trust us.
Trust us.
Hey, kicking off our professional side of the card. Listen, we've got Christian Lopez and taking on Eduardo Anaya.
Anaya's back.
The return of Demas Chapas taking on Anthony Valenzuela. Christy, I can't say your name. Tyne Quinco?
Hey, this is like there's two names in this female fight. I'm going to have to get some pronunciation.
Christy and Amanda are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Jose Mercado and Robert Garcia. And then we get to our main card. And once again, Mr. Garcia here has outdone himself with another banging card here in H-Town. Javier Zepeda taking on Justin Longoria, busting Justin Longoria. Kid comes to throw.
3-0 versus 2-0.
Yeah. Jermaine Ponce and Diarra Culpepper. These first two fights are four of the top like young prospects.
Yeah, I was looking at this card.
I am
five
really
of these guys.
Diarra Culpepper coming back.
I guarantee you five of these fighters on the main card will be on Dana White Contender Series next year.
100%.
Five of them, at least.
Hey, what's the qualification to get on the Contender Series? Like, how many fights do you have
fight,
to have?
Fight, win.
How there, many
well,
fights?
Fight, really win, no maybe amount. Win a title.
Win at Fury.
Be impressive.
Mick and Sean and Dana have to like Next what year. They've seen.
Be fight consistently and get finishes.
Cody? I didn't know if there was a certain amount. Or
yeah. Oh, yeah, Cody will be
so,
there next
so
year.
Okay. Unless you're, and we're going to talk about a guy, unless you're Bo Nickel.
Yeah,
you need to probably have between 6 to 7 wins, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8 wins, somewhere in that. Like
wins,
they want
not
you
fights.
Wins. Okay. They want you, but also finishes.
Yeah,
you have to have finishes to be on there.
Right.
So, or like to be fair, they brought in our champ, Sawadi, to take on a guy who finishes everybody, and our champ had a lot of decisions.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw
Abdul.
That.
So okay. he was the underdog going into that fight. But what did he do in that fight? He fought unlike he's ever fought. And let his hands go. It was crazy. And that's how he won himself a contract. So for Contender Series, and just like the UFC, they want to see finishes. That's all they care about. When we're talking with Mick or we're talking with Sean and we pull up a guy's record, the first thing look at is how many – okay, he's got 10 wins. How many of her finishes?
Are we going to have any ladies on there anytime soon, you think?
Bring
we're trying to build. We're trying to build the division.
Do you know any ladies that want
to
fight?
Well, I guess I'm asking, like, are there any ladies who have been able to fight that consistently?
So we had Rain Guerrero go to Contender Series this year. Now she didn't win. She had a good fight, but she didn't win. She'll be back next year on it for sure. There's a good crop of ladies coming up.
We
now.
Plan on Mia and Kara Greenwell will eventually make
Mia's
it.
Yeah,
Kara
Greenwell
probably won't be next year though.
Liv Byerly,
yeah, probably gonna be a couple years. From
I think Olivia Byerly, will probably be out there as well too.
Okay.
I would say we probably got 4 to 5 females who plus there's a whole crop of Madison Gwynn, Sandy.
Houston women show up.
Yeah, that's it.
Just Texas women show up.
We need them anywhere. U.S. anywhere. I actually have 2 Brazilians that we're bringing in next month to fight females.
Hey, also on this card, we got Ricardo Canales taking on striking lizard Oliver Jimenez. Mm-hmm. And then we got the fight that everyone's talking about right now. This guy could be the next Bo Nickel. Literally, he is
teammates
with Bo Nickel. They're best friends.
Bo so will be here this weekend.
John Giantasio taking on D1 2019 D1 national champion Anthony Cassar. Anthony Cassar is one of the best wrestlers that you're going to see out there when it comes to prospects in MMA right now. He was, you know, three years in a row he got injured going in. He was never like the favorite to win, but he was always considered like this really good wrestler coming out. He'd get injured, didn't get his chance. Finally, 2019, he comes out there and it runs through everybody, gets out there, wins his D1 title. So we're really excited to have him on it. This will be his Fury debut. He's 1-0 at heavyweight, but he's dropping down to 205. And this is a guy that Mick and Dana and everyone, like the whole world's looking to see what Anthony Cassar looks like on Sunday. And this could be a coming out show for him as well. This is a guy when you talk about he now with Contender Series ending and starting up again next year, you know, he could probably have 3 or 4 fights before he gets called up. But he's a guy who if he had won this weekend and this was back in July, he probably got called up at 2-0 or 3-0. He has that big of a following, that big of a potential. So that's Anthony Cassar this weekend. This fight I'm excited about. Sean Moore and Gabriel Wanderlei.
Yeah,
2 undefeated prospects.
Wanderlei's a fucking killer on the ground, man.
Man, both bantamweights. Our bantamweight division is stacked, and these guys are right there in the hunt.
Is that how you say it?
Wanderlei.
I've been saying that name wrong forever. I've been saying Vonder.
Yeah, I did it on a broadcast, so you know.
I think if it's I don't know. I don't know when you changed the W to a V in Portuguese.
It's just like when you changed the J to a.
If you're in Germany or wherever.
In Spanish.
Because he's not Brazilian, right?
He is.
So it's probably Vonderlei.
Well, shit is Vonderlei then.
Well, when we asked him, though, he said Wanderlei.
He did tell us Wanderlei.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Maybe he's just American at all.
Well, is it Jose or Jose?
Huh?
Is it Jose or Jose?
Is it George or Jorge?
Yeah. Is it Joao or Joao?
Is it Jimenez Macaco, or Jimenez?
He's like, it's Jorge.
Well, I think if it's a J, I'm going to say Jorge.
Well, he just said Jimenez.
Who did?
You did.
Listen.
This lesson in false linguistics brought to you by Howlerhead Whiskey.
Listen, as an Irish, Cajun, black man, that's the way I'm going to say it.
That's wrong.
Okay?
That's wrong.
Thank you.
Pronounce every last name.
And you are the blackest Irish Cajun.
I am the blackest Irish Cajun here. Gerardo Grinnell taking on Luis Gurriel. Gurriel or Gurriel?
Luis Gurriel.
Now you're going to be really Luis Gurriel.
Garbage. Why am I the guy reading this?
Luis, every time I mispronounce your name, it's Rich Burmaster's fault. Luis Gurriel.
Why isn't the actual announcer the guy reading
this? Yeah, it probably should be you.
I was going to try, but
he's too drunk.
Rich is, you know, he's very hands
on. You're on 20. Who's the main card?
We're on the main card.
We're almost there.
That's
we're
where
almost
we are.
To the main sorry. I got
you got
excited.
Luis Gurriel taking on Gerardo Grinnell.
That's definitely
I forgot
wrong.
I dressed that one up.
That's definitely wrong.
He's actually German.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I don't
know. Oh, yeah? Oh, my God.
Hey, cheers to that.
Our co-main event, Shane Torres taking on Carlos Jimenez, that H-Town dog
getting
ready to throw down.
Jimenez.
Come on.
See,
dude.
I was just trying to get
is
to the next
Jimenez
one.
Jimenez or Jimenez?
I think it's Jimenez.
Jimenez.
Well, I'm probably wrong.
Is his first name's Carlos. It's not Jimenez.
And in our main event, we've got Eduardo Alvarado taking on the always dangerous John Giannis.
The juice John Giannis.
Eduardo's out there playing, training with Moreno right now. With Brandon.
Out at Fortis? Or down in Mexico?
They're in Vegas.
He's not in Mexico. That's Diego Lopez. That's Diego Lopez.
Jesus Christ. Give me your fucking drink, Rich. You're done.
Back off my shit.
I think he was like this before we started.
He was. Remember when he strutted his shit to turn off the camera?
Hey, he invited us to Korean Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're going to go to Korean Thanksgiving.
His wife's Korean?
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Chuseok.
Chuseok.
Yeah. All that
he
good
said
shit.
He didn't know.
I don't know.
He doesn't
any
know any Korean.
Listen, I know.
You don't know any Korean?
I know the food they give me.
Your wife is Korean?
I know
Korean?
Bulgogi and Yakimandos and yeah, my wife's Korean. Makes sense, right? Someone's got to be good at numbers in our house. It's not me. If you ever seen Excel spreadsheet come for me, thank my wife. She for sure fixed that shit up.
Your wife is great.
Yeah.
She cooked the books.
Yeah, so like my first year going out there, so her family is Korean and white. Like trash, white, like Korean and white. So, because her dad's from Virginia, which we all have had experiences there.
Yeah.
And so he's from like the hills. And her mom is from North Korea. So
North Korea?
I say that all the time. It's probably wrong. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's wrong.
Probably wrong.
I think they're from Seoul or some shit like that.
That's not North. That's South.
Yeah. But I'm always like, North? So, like our first year we were dating, went out there for Thanksgiving.
To Korea?
No, Rogers, Texas.
Oh,
we go there, and I'm thinking, like, Thanksgiving food, man. I walk in. Mm. I still, to this point, thought my wife was, like, Hispanic or Indian or some shit because she's white and Korean, and I just never
somehow
noticed.
That equals
I never
Hispanic.
Noticed
never
the
had
eyes.
A oh, my God. Well, you never had a conversation like, hey, so we're
why would family? I? No, because I have, like, no family, so I don't ask that.
I don't know.
How long were you dating?
We're white. We can't ask those questions.
We've been dating about 5 months.
What's wrong with
why
you?
Why would I? Hey, what ethnicity are you? Why do I care?
Why would you not know?
You're having sex with me.
Oh, my God.
That's all that matters. That's priorities right there.
Thank you.
They're grinding elbows.
I'm not like, I wonder where your mom is from.
And she's not grossed out, so.
Yeah, like, we're not in the shower. Hour, and I'm like, so where's your mom from? No, like, we're not.
Did she make Korean food?
Hey,
if you go 23andMe.
Oh, okay, that's different.
No.
Then. Yeah.
So my wife, like, knows no Korean either.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
She, like, rebelled. Different. She, like, rebelled against her mom.
So, like, culturally, she didn't feel super Korean.
Yeah.
No, okay,
no.
Totally different.
No. Then. So, right. I mean, she grew up in small town, you know,
but
Texas.
She wears
too.
Kimono everywhere. But
yeah, she does.
That's Japanese.
Besides
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Are you saying they can't wear kimonos in North Korea?
She makes a lot of lo mein. What are we doing? It's Chinese. So we
challenge each other culturally and failing.
So we get there, and, like, her, you know, I see the table, and there's, like, turkey and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, man. And then the other side of the table is all of this Korean food.
Oh,
that's the best. And I'm like, what is this?
All
and,
those side
and
dishes.
Her brother's over there.
Banchan.
And I see him taking, like, seaweed and putting bulgogi and rice in and just popping them in his mouth. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And from that moment on, I'm Korean as fuck.
That's all it takes, man.
This shit is delicious, yep. Man. So her Seriously. Mom will send me back, like, boxes of, like, yakimando she makes and bulgogi. And I just defrost it and, like, cook it
By
up.
The way... That's literally Mike's nickname from look Korea at that ear. Because look, they said it looked like Mondu, so they
it
would
does.
Just call him Mondu.
Yeah, it really
that
does.
That is so not
look
on
at
camera
the other one.
At all.
It does.
There you go. There
it
you
does.
Go. Lean into there. You
there
go.
We go.
Got one yeah. on that side too.
Isn't that delicious?
Oh,
wow.
Hey, the howler head.
Hey, we're not trying to add another baby
my
here in the studio. But my
body.
Cairo's like
cauliflower ears are telling me yes.
Get baby. In the bed and tell me what ethnicity you are, baby.
Cairo is like 12 children in one, so we're good.
Do you guys want to have more kids?
We're going to adopt.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No, for real.
Don't do that.
Hey, he speaks from experience.
Do
you know, as,
why?
You know,
that's window shopping. Don't do that.
Stop.
No, I support that.
Oh, no.
Only,
I have
only
like,
rich can make those jokes.
I had a super traumatic pregnancy, and I just have like, or delivery, and I have.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, oh yeah.
You like you almost passed out. You almost
no,
passed
that
out.
That was terrible.
Hey, Mike turned green.
Oh, yeah, I was
at
there
least,
for that.
At
yeah.
least she was like the conception was fucking terrible, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty
so,
traumatizing.
Yeah,
though.
So I don't want to do that again.
That, but I remember.
So you guys are gonna adopt?
We'd like to. Yeah.
That's cool, man. It is a bullshit process in the States.
Yes,
that's
it
what
is.
I hear.
Now, if you guys can, I know you can adopt overseas.
I would love to do. I would love to do international adoption.
It's like eBay, over
but
there, right?
At the it same time,
like,
I'm like, I just like to adopt a kid that doesn't have a family. That's kind of
well, that's
my
all
only priority. You know, like, well, it's not though. There's a lot of red tape actually. So I'm from Wisconsin, and it's actually really hard to adopt a lot of Native American kids. They'll send them to like the next of kin. So it's actually really hard to adopt. You have to foster to adopt.
Yeah. Do you have cash?
Huh?
Do you have cash?
They don't care about that.
No, you can get a baby.
It's
reservation, you can get. I get you. You want
it's
a baby?
It's a little bit different.
Where are you
it's a little
shopping?
Bit different.
If you want,
where are you shopping?
You want
where
baby?
Do you just have discount babies? Like, how is this like?
You know, it makes no sense. Like, we have a problem with obviously there's kids that need to be adopted, and how come you don't see commercials for that?
I know.
How come
you're
not telling us where
you
these kids
hear.
Are?
But
so
you
that
see
we can
like
adopt
a Sarah McLachlan
kids?
Commercial for a dog. You know, I mean. Why don't we see it for adoption? That's a great question.
Well,
yeah, no, adoption's great, man. Yeah, like
it's I wanted to do that even before we didn't think we could have kids. I don't know if I should be saying that. We didn't think we could, so that was actually a really
was it
cool
just figuring
surprise?
Out like the sex thing or
no? I thought I was told I could not.
I admit different. I thought you didn't know. How?
Oh, no, we were like, how do we, like, I had, like, dolls, and I was like, do we put this here? And
how gross my homeboy.
But,
Mike's like, I don't know what to do with the goo.
So
where
does
it go?
Doll A,
where does it go?
Here's doll B.
Is it in there? It's goo. I don't know. I keep putting it in the cup. I don't know what to do. It's in the sock. What do I do with it?
Oh, ew.
You wipe the sock on yourself.
That's so nasty.
I don't know. What? What happened to the show?
Yeah, so we'd like to know.
Maggie, this is all your fault. This is all
I'm
your fault.
I'm sorry.
But Eduardo Alvarado is taking on John Giannis, and apparently Eduardo's nickname is El Pube. How?
What?
Where did that come from? That's all typology.
El Pube?
I didn't make
El
that Pube. Up. I didn't make that up.
El Pube.
El Pube.
El
Jesus
Pube. Not El
Pube.
That's El Pube.
Why did I get that one right and you got that one wrong?
That's El Pube.
What's
I don't
Pube?
Care
what
you guys
what is Pube in your foreign language?
I
what is that?
I don't know anyway. It might as well be El Pube.
Hey, but listen, he's a badass, though.
Well, we got to work excited. On the nickname for him because
El Pube.
You know,
Pube.
He's going to be exciting.
Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up.
What's it come back? It says hair. Like,
it,
what?
It doesn't translate well, so we got to like come up with like, you know, like the lion or something.
The lion. The time for talk is over.
Are we done?
Yes.
Are we
all right, hey guys, listen. This
it
has
means
been...
a Mexican traveling salesman of sex gadgets. What?
Well,
yeah, you're right.
That was better. Hey guys, the time for talk is over. We're out. That's done. That's Spin Fury Unleashed.
That's the best fucking nickname ever.
What are you doing?
And now, Houston, Texas, make some noise, because the time for talk is over. It's time to unleash the fury!